ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. തേല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ഡ രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാമനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Shri Bhakti Medanda Swamin Nirinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം ഭവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോയത പ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദശ്ചാത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരേശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യമരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതുഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തക്ഷണ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാഭൂരിഭാവുക. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ. യം പ്രവ്രഗന്ധം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതിരന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനീതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂ കൊണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരിന്ന കണികാവി കാവി കാവീ. നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ഇതി നാമിനേ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ నిర్విశేషాశూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్యాదేశదారిణీ శ్రీమల్గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందం వ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశాం వ్యాసం హరిగదో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌముదగీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేషమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం పూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామళోయం కుమారః వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాళం పంగం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపా పరమం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతే ఆర్యాయై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. గోవింద గోవింద. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణిం భగవతిం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినిం అంబత్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణిం. నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఉల్లారవిందాయత వక్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలిలో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక బాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వౌపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాల నందన పార్థో వత్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రత జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ. పారాశర్యవజసరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కణం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనా బోధితం. సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరః పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజకలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాళం పంగం లంఘయతి గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంతి దివ్యైస్తవైర్ వేదైర్సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతియం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థితలద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుః సురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. So this chapter, which is the Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, or the three modes of material nature, which we started discussing yesterday, introduction to that, we said that Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, while speaking, before he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to him, said, Nayatra Hamsa Niraman Yushikshaya, in the first canto, we have seen on the fifth chapter, says, Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas that always stay on the higher platform and speak Srimad Bhagavatam, don't come down. This was his instruction. And those who want to understand, let them understand. If not, leave it. Because that is how the rishis have done, don't change that tradition. This is what is the point. when you start making everything to feed to the people's taste or the public's taste, the message gets lost. This is what has happened to Bhagavad Gita and to Upanishads and to Bhagavatam. Everything, the same thing. When you start feeding to the people's taste, don't do that. This is where Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Nayatra Hamsa Niramanyu Shikshaya, he says, let those who want to understand the higher values of life, let them come up. Don't go down to their level. It may look a little bit undemocratic, isn't it? We like democracy. It doesn't work in spiritual life, unfortunately. You can bring democracy into your material life, but don't bring that into spiritual life. It will not work. That's the principle. Nayatra hamsa niramanyu shikshaya. Why I'm saying all this thing is, this chapter is so important in the sense, we are discussing three modes of material nature. What does three modes of material nature mean? It means the society. Society is the three modes of material nature who is putting all the pressures on the people. So before we go into that chapter, we should understand where this is all coming from. Just to talk about Sattvam, Rajas, Tamas is not difficult because that's already there. But when you look into the background of three modes of nature, what is influencing each one of us is this society. Society is what is influencing, and that society is the three modes of material nature. So that is why Acharyas also said while commenting on the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also particularly, you cannot walk in both directions. If you are going towards the west, means you are going away from the east. Or if you are going towards the east, means you are going away from the west. Simultaneously, you can't walk towards the east and the west. That's not possible, isn't it? So that is why society, what we are talking about, and the spiritual life, they don't go together. They cannot. It is not possible. Reason being that those people who have created the society, no matter where it is, and no matter what kind of society it is, whether it is religious society or it is other kinds of societies, whatever it is there in the world, what they have done, that wrong things they have taken, always it is like that, the wrong principles they will take, and a group of people get together and they will make the according to their convenience and arrangement, they will form the society. And those people who have combined a society like this, that is what we call it a society today. Samoham or whatever we call it today, that is what the society is. So whether it is in relationship with religion or it is due to their social reasons, whatever it may be, in that society, generally, people with culture and knowledge won't be there. This is the simple principle. Wherever you go, you can look at it. In a society which generally people have formed together, people with knowledge and people with culture will not be there in that. Because they will not find it very, very difficult. Because to become a part of a society, you need false ego inside. Strong false ego inside. And once your false ego gets weakened, you have no place in the society. You are out. You will be thrown out from the society. This is the principle. That ahankaram, when its power, when it gets weakened, then anymore you will not be able to stand inside the society, because society won't accept you anymore. That is the principle. So this is why often you will notice sannyasis and jnanis and realized personality, they are on their own always. Prabhupada was always on his own, wasn't he? Vivekananda was on his own. He had nobody. Nobody will go with them, because when people ask such questions to them, he says to, this question was raised, that you are talking about Vedic culture, Vedantam, self-realization and all sorts of things, but how come that this Vedic culture did not invade, control the whole world? That question came up. His answer was, only barbarians conquers others. Only savages attack others. That's their business. People who are very barbaric, they are the people who go around the world, want to control others, because ahankaram is so strong inside. That's where it's coming from. If your ahankaram disappears from inside, when you become weakened inside, there is no more false ego inside, for them, it is difficult for them to go and do such things. So, people who are very, very crude, prakritam, in other words, very crude in their nature, they are the people who want to invade other countries, who wants to control others, administer others, and pull others down, and instruct others, and all sorts of things that you can see in the society all the time, isn't it? The more and more a person become purified through knowledge and realizations, along with that, for him this tendency to control others and to instruct others and to hold others into their group and organizing others, all these things will go away from him. It is a natural thing. That the more you become refined inside, your ego goes away and you start seeing the truth within yourself, the tendency will always be to pull out of this so-called society. You don't want to be a part of the society, and you'll also find it very difficult to control others, administration, management, and pulling, organizing society, and all this, basically that is coming from the false ego inside, that I want to control others' life, control other people, this kind of things will go away from them. When it is like that, if it is like that, you can imagine, because it is like that, those who are in administration, management and all that, their general nature is they are very, very crude inside. The refining has not happened inside. Knowledge hasn't come, culture hasn't come inside. That's what it means. So, from this circle of this thing called a society, only when someone sees the truth, he will escape from that. He will come out of it and he will jump out of that society. So, that is why rishis, you can see rishis never formed a society. Rishis were always independent, individuals they were, in the sense that they had complete freedom from the false ego. They did not want to control the society and the world. They went into the forest seeking the truth. Upanishads have come from that state of consciousness. Not by administering and controlling others and controlling others' life and doing the management, and these kind of things never happened in their life. And therefore what they have done, that this society, what we are talking, they all escape from the society. Whether it is Angiras or whether it is Narada Maharshi, due to of course their spiritual position, they didn't have to be part of any society. They were all independent, all the time independent. And therefore, whether it is Vasishtha, whether it is Bharadwaj, whether it is Gautama Maharshi, or any of the great sages, if you look at them, you will see that they remain totally independent. Totally independent. Because once you have realized the truth that they have escaped from this so-called society, they do not want to identify with this society anymore whenever they come. Therefore, rishis have defined that these this circle in which the society exists, it has got three problems. One, loka vasana, two, shastra vasana, and three, deha vasana. These are the three things that keeps the society together. So, if you add up all these three things, that is society. Loka vasana, shastra vasana, and deha vasana. So, when one is able to jump out of this circle, after he has realized the truth, naturally he will be out of it. He will be out of it. And it is only that, then, that a fear comes in our life. A fear comes in our life. What is that fear? Fear is this, that if I leave the society, what will happen to me? Nobody will come for your daughter's marriage or son's marriage or for anything. You don't want to be excommunicated from the society. Isn't it? Everybody want to be within the society for fear of the society. Because of the fear of the society, they live it in the society. And they feel that if I leave the society, once I go out, how will I survive? And everybody exploits this. Everybody exploits this. And actually you will know that only when you escape from the society, you are actually free. Till then, you are not free. You are not free. So, as long as you are within this circle, you are always in fear. You are always in fear. And this is precisely the reason. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you will know. When gopis were asked Krishna told to test their resolve because they belong to the society. Krishna says to the gopis, go back because your society will reject you. That is, Krishna wanted to test their resolve on that. What did the gopis say? Gopis says to him, Visha jalapeyad vyala rakshasad varsham arudad vaidyudanalad vishamayatmajad vishwadobhayad. Vishwadobhayad means fear of the society. Gopis are saying to Krishna, when we had all problems, society could not protect us. Who protected us? Just see Gopis' realization. Gopis are asking Krishna, that's how much we care for this society today. That is the courage. That is spiritual life. Vishajalapeyad vyalarakshasad varshamarudad vaidyudanalad. It is all in the Gopika Gita. You can read it yourself. Vishajalapeyad vyalarakshasad. From Kalindi river, from Kaliya's problem, who protected us? Vyalarakshasad. Different demons came. Who protected us? Varshamarudad vaidyudanalad. When the heavy rains and Govardhanam pastime, when all that happened, who protected us? Vaidyudanalad. Vishamayalpajad vishwadobhayam. So many demons came and tried to kill us. Who protected us? If they were all protected, we were protected by someone. Will that person won't protect us? Vishwadobhayad. From the fear of the society also. This was Gopi's question. So, naturally, in spiritual life, this jumping out of the society is the most difficult thing. Everyone wants to feel that they are part of some group, isn't it? That only then they feel that there is some strength in that. This is the Maya. This is Maya's way. Maya is not guaranteeing you anything that if you are part of a group that you are protected. No, Maya will never give you that guarantee. And that is why in spite of all the problems with all the group, we still stick to the group. Vishajalapayad, Vyalarakshasad, Varshamarudad, Vaidyudanalad. Vishamayalpajad, Vishwadobhayad. Gopis are saying, Vishwadobhayad. Vishwam, the world is going to frighten you in different ways, and this is one of the ways the world frighten you, the society. Krishabhadevayam Rakshidamahu. You protect us, you are the expert in protecting everybody, says Gopis to Krishna. And Krishna understood that Gopis are not going to go back by listening to this kind of talk. When Krishna tried to persuade them to go back, after the Rasa dance, when Gopis sang Gopika Gita, this is in the Gopika Gita, this verse comes. So Gopis are saying that for our protection, it's you, seeing Krishna as the self inside. You have to remember that. That seeing Krishna as the self within, Atma inside. And that is how Gopis are speaking, that is where the protection is. Protection is in the, from Antaryami inside, from Krishna. Not from the world. And that is why in spiritual life, as soon as we take to spiritual life, first thing to understand is ashrayam, we said yesterday, or shelter should be Krishna, not the society. Nobody can give us any society, any shelter here. So that is why he says here, this fear doesn't go away easily, the fear of the society. How do we escape from that? And whatever you can see, analyze, look at the society and see for yourself, that how to escape from this, whatever you may achieve, acquire in this world, this fear is always there. Because that is why in the last chapter, when we looked at, Krishna said there, that in the kshetram, inside kshetram, the very nature of kshetram is fear. The very nature of kshetram is fear. Kshetram creates fear. We relate with the society due to what? Due to the body, isn't it? It's through the body the connection with the society is. Body is the kshetram. And kshetram means there is the very nature of the kshetram is fear. It creates fear inside. So kshetram means what? Body, isn't it? In the last chapter we have seen that. So long as you are inside this body, and so long as you are very much identifying with that external form, what we are in this body, there will be fear. There will be fear. And this fear is various kinds of fear can come from that. Whatever you may achieve in this world, you acquire a lot of wealth. And
all that thing is only for due to this fear inside. Due to this fear inside. And we want to remove that fear from inside. That is why we look for that. To remove that fear, we look for that shelter in the society. That is exactly what Krishna is saying not to do. Like people go and make themselves very popular, acquiring fame and name in this world. People want a lot of followers. People want a lot of wealth. All this is why? Because of this fear inside. So that is the reason why people are acquiring so much wealth, because of the fear in the society. And to be a member of the society, you can see they keep on starting new clubs and all sorts of organizations, isn't it? And they get together and form some kind of comradeship together, being together. They feel, and they have their own system of keeping that thing together, isn't it? All sorts of societies we have in this world. And exactly that is what in religion also. That's what we're doing. There's nothing much different than that. But all this is happening, there is a fear there. Because the fear is that whatever you may achieve in this world or acquire in this world, finally, this fear is not going away from inside. It's not going away from inside. So, very, very famous people, if you look at them, you can see that this fear has not left them. This fear has not left them. Sometimes you can see this, that they don't feel still any protection. That fear inside does not go away very easily for them. So sometimes one person who has got a lot of recognition in this world, different titles from the government, recognition of their position, and they were very, very famous, and they were required and recognized by the society. But still the fear hasn't left inside. What will happen tomorrow? What will happen tomorrow? So that way, if you go in that direction, whether you have thousands of people have recognized you or 10,000 people have recognized you, it's not going to make any difference. It's not going to make any difference. Name, fame, and a lot of wealth what you have acquired, all these things, even to talk about your own health for that reason, cannot give you any kind of satisfaction or happiness or protection. Including your health, what to talk about other things. Even if you have acquired a lot of wealth, acquired a lot of people on your side who are with you in everything, and acquired a big fame in this world, in spite of all that, even if all that you have, still, even if you have acquired good health, healthy body, even then, it is not guaranteed that you will be protected. You have protection. That is the reason. All these things combined together, which one? Name, fame, followers, wealth, health, everything combined together, Krishna gave one name for that. That is called Kshetram. Is it not? Kshetram is that. All this is included in the Kshetram. So, in the seventh chapter, Krishna calls it as Apara Prakriti. Krishna calls it as Apara Prakriti. Krishna calls it as Apara Prakriti, and Upanishad calls it as Vinasham. That is how Upanishad uses the word Vinasham. Vinasham means that no matter what you have acquired here, the person who has acquired knows very well that one day it will go. That is its nature. Isn't it? So, and that is the reason what it causes fear inside. This has happened to all the big people. It's not a new thing. Only thing, you just have to a little bit dig into their life and look at it, what they have achieved in this world. And finally, when one after the other, everything goes away. The world is not going to look for them anymore. That is the very nature of the Avara Prakriti. You can't do anything about it. So, because of that, the fear inside, and that is the reason behind that they invading others, fighting, killing each other, and controlling others, telling lies and cheating, all sorts of things. And all ultimately, after doing all that, they may get the position, the chair in the authority somewhere, in some position, they get it. And they'll sit in their chair for some time, but if only for a few years. After that, they get thrown away again. You know that in the democracy, that system is very much like that. As soon as they get into the power, then they have to work for the next election, isn't it? Then they have to make sure that they have to win the next election, for which they start working from the very day they get elected. And in a subtle level, they start operating. Everybody does that all over the world. In all democracies, that's what's happening. Because they know that they have got only for the 5 years. For the next 5 years to get, they have to start working from now on. Why this fear that we are going to lose it in 5 years' time? So, no matter how glorious a person is, how much he is worshipable, all that thing, worship, everything will come to a dead stop one day. Will come to a dead stop one day. So, because he is worshipped, that does not mean that he is not going to get old. That does not mean he is not going to get sick. That does not mean he is not going to get, he is not going to die. Is it not? This world will worship me. World will recognize him. That I am talking about society. Society may recognize him. Society may worship him. Society may honor him. And society will follow him. But he is not protected by the society. If that much, if we accept it, we escape from this. Because they cannot do anything as far as death is concerned, old age is concerned, disease is concerned. There is no guarantee the society can offer. Society can offer. And his mind will not be peaceful because of this reason. He is putting all his energy into the society to get recognized by the society and to be accepted by the society and feeling protection and shelter in the society. But unfortunately, this very same society is not in a position to give that person any protection as far as death, old age and disease is concerned. That is why in this very chapter, if you look, Krishna is saying there in the verse, if you look, 14th chapter. Before the chapter finishes, Krishna says to, in the verse 20, if you look to the verse 20, in the verse 20, Gunan edan atityatran trin dehi deha samudbhavam janma mrityu jara dukher vimitto amrtam asnute. Krishna is saying, where is the protection from janma mrityu jara dukham? From these three things, janmam, mrityu and jara, birth, death and old age, who will give you protection? Krishna is asking that question. That vimukto amrtam asnute. And therefore, that is why when we talk about these three modes of material nature, we must know this simple fact that in spite of all your best efforts for recognition in the society, because we are all supposed to be very much influenced by the society, isn't it? When society says to us something, we are straight up there, ready to listen. When Krishna says something, we think, scratch the head, well, have I got the time? When society says something, I am right in the front, because I am frightened inside. If I don't do this, what society will not look at me? So Krishna is saying something so seriously, and we are thinking, well, I'll look at it later. when I have got time. I've got time for the society, but when Krishna is saying something, our mind goes in a different direction. That is why these three modes of material nature is important because of this. That first of all, that ajnanam, avidya, ignorance inside has to go from within. Otherwise it's not going to happen. We can't have both together, the so-called society and Krishna consciousness. That's not going to work. It's not going to happen. That is the point Krishna is saying here, that all world runs after this society's word. That's why we define the society, what society means. Whether it is religious society or any other kind of society, it doesn't matter. Lot of fame and name you require. You want a lot of money and wealth and followers. And ultimately, even if you have acquired a good health, and you are saying, say for example, you are remaining very healthy, but still the mind is not peaceful. Still the mind is not peaceful. Because there is always a fear, am I going to lose my health tomorrow? That fear will be there. Even if everything else is clear. Everybody has got some reasonable amount of health, and therefore sometimes people say that I'm living very close to a good hospital. If anything happens, that I could go there. That is the fear inside is coming out. People sometimes, and people think that, oh, if I buy a flat in Vrindavan or Mayapur, probably I'm covered. It's another kind of insurance that is. Or they're thinking, if I get a nice flat near the Bhupa hospital, as soon as anything happens, I can move straight into the hospital. All these kind of shelter, feeling of shelter is coming from this fear, what we have spoken about. So what does that mean? They have already decided that tomorrow is going to come. That fear is very much there. And therefore they have taken a decision right now that they have got fear in all these things. It is a fact. So somewhere inside, the seed of that fear is everybody. You know, everyone has that seed of the fear. And is it possible to break away from this fear? And is it possible to remove that fear from within? Is it possible to have that complete freedom or independence from this? Is it possible to jump out of this field of society? Or is this the only option, to live like this and finally die in this world, in this way, with this fear? So, that is where this question has to come first inside, that it is always, till this fear exists inside, it will be very, very difficult to come to spiritual life, to come to spiritual life. So, thoughtful people who are living in the society, that they will think about all these things. That, therefore, those who are not able to think in those directions, they will go in the society for a long period of time. And they went and they saw many people, and they tried in the society their luck, whether it will come out of that. But many people, you can see that although they don't think very deeply about it, in very subtle level, this thought is inside giving trouble. This thought is giving trouble inside. As you get older, you will notice this. Little by little, you are part of a big society. And when you get older, you will notice yourself that society does not want you that much as you are wanting the society. It will come. Finally, you will come to, everybody will come to know this. And all this time, that subtle fear inside that what is going to happen tomorrow after death. At that time, you are conscious that this so-called society whom you have patronized all life is not there to do anything. Society has changed. Some other people have come and they have made the society. Therefore, I am just saying this here because it's our own reflection of our life. It's a reflection of our life. So, in everyone, this thought is some at somewhere in a very subtle level is in everyone's mind. So people, those who are in a very higher level even, who are so close, so called in the society on a very higher status, even they have got this fear. Don't think that they are, because of their holding big positions in the society, they don't have the fear. They also have the fear. They are not free, they don't have the freedom from the fear either. We think that, oh, because we are the only ones who have got this fear. No. Even those who are in higher positions in the society and who have made materially successful in life, in the name of followers and fame and wealth, even they also have the same fear inside them. So once it so happened, two sannyasis were traveling. They were circumambulating a hill at that time, and there was a lot of sadhus on the way. So many sadhus were on the way. They were also going around. So one sannyasi said to the other sannyasi that, look at this, they are sadhus. They are fighting like this. So the other sannyasi said, you say sadhus are fighting. Only difference is sadhus fight on the road because they don't have a place to fight. All other so-called cultured and civilized and the leaders of the society, they fight at home. That's all the difference. Fighting is going on either inside or outside. Everywhere, it's the same thing. You may be thinking that all these people are all extremely peaceful at home. They're all fighting at home in one thing or the other. Continuous fight is going on. Only when it comes out in the Daily Mail or in the other paper, people get to know. That is why they are interested. People are thinking, celebrities and all, they have made it. Oh, they have made it in their life, people say. What have they made? There is no escape from that fear. There is no shanti inside. That is why even after making big name and fame in this world and after acquiring a lot of wealth in this world, if you really dig into their life, you can see that how miserable they are. How miserable they are. I'm not joking. If it is, you can just and look at the society and see for yourself. That this fear of material existence, material nature can't do anything about it, you can't do anything about it. That is why Krishna is saying throughout this particular chapter that so long as you are connected with the material nature, you are in trouble. If as long as you are taken shelter under any of the three modes, sattvam, rajasa or tamasa, you have to have this fear with you. You will not be able to free yourself from that. This chapter requires an introduction, proper introduction, because in this chapter what we are going to discuss now is all coming from the society. In a Shastric language you can say Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. Practically what it is, the influence of the society on you or your interaction with the society what you live. So thing is that whether you are a sadhu, sadhus are fighting, and the so-called society leaders, they are also fighting. They are also fighting at home. And when the fight comes out in the open, people come to know about it. Many cases people start thinking, oh, the others are all very happily married, living at home very peacefully, and living an extraordinarily good life. Actually, it is not. There is a lot of problems in everything. And as long as, because fight has to happen, why? The reason is this, that till the ajnanam, avidya is inside, that as long as it is there, because the problem is inside, in the mind. So there, till they realize the truth, whether you are a beggar or whether you are a wealthy person, you will have problems. You will have problems. So that is the reason that Krishna is saying here, whoever it may be, he will suffer. For example, due to time, influence of time, or influence of your place of birth, or your ashram, whether you are a brahmachari, or a grihastha, or vanaprastha, or sannyasa, no matter what it is, or whether you are a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra, or any different designations, whatever it may be, ajnanam doesn't change. Avidya doesn't change. Because you are thinking that only people are distressed today. No. In the past also, people, our previous generation, the generation before that, they also had distress. They also lived in distress. It is there today also. People live in distress all the time. And it will be there in the future also. It's not going to change. You must look at this chapter in this way, because three modes of material nature will change the society's feeling, and this shanti inside of the society will be very much affected by the three modes of material nature. And in the ancient times also, very few people have found out the truth and escaped from this circle. And if we want to escape from the circle, it is possible. From this society, it is possible. Today or tomorrow, we may also escape from here. It is possible. Why it is saying like that so firmly, that it is possible to jump out? Because rishis are already saying to us, actually, you are already out of it. You are out of it. Only thing is, you do not know that you are out of it. Do you understand what that means? It means that in reality, you are not inside this circle also. As if in your pure identity as the self, as the soul, you are not a part of the society. Is it not? What has connected you with the society? This body. Body has connected you with the society. And you feel all these obligations to the society, connections with the society, commitments to the society, and you are a good a member of the society, all because of one reason only, because of the body. So actually you are not a part of it, the body is a part of it, but due to identification with the body, you are feeling that you are a part of this society. But in reality you are outside. Is the self inside is interested in this society? Have you ever asked the self, Are you interested in this society? Who is interested in the society? Your avara prakriti is interested in the society. That is why Krishna in two chapters of Bhagavad Gita is very clearly pointing out to us avara prakriti and para prakriti and kshetram and kshetrajnan. What reason? For this reason only. That so that you don't fall into this trap of the kshetram. Don't fall into the trap of avara prakriti. Once all this is understood, then you can't become a part of this society anymore. But still, in spite of all that, we will discuss all this. As soon as you go out, you will see, oh, so-and-so has invited us for the marriage. If I don't go, what will happen? Sky will come down if I don't go for the marriage. Is it not? This is how we are. These are the people who wants to realize the self. Imagine that. We are ourselves, we don't judge. We judge everybody, but we don't judge ourselves, where we stand in spiritual life. Our attachment to the society, this is called ajnanam. In Shastram, they use the word ajnanam. There is no other word for that, avidya. Until we come out of this, there is no hope. Either remain, as he said, Ayariswami mentions in that, either you walk towards the east or walk towards the west. If you want to be a part of this so-called society, and if this society is going to be your shelter and protection at every stage, then Krishna says, I can't help you. Avara Prakriti cannot give you any shelter. So, that is why that Krishna says here that when this will happen is, one day you will realize the self at some point in time. And then you will think, all these years I have attended so many marriages. What do I do now? So wasted my time, you will realize it. At that time. After doing it. But that has to happen, I don't know how many lifetimes. If you take into all the marriages you have attended in all the lifetimes before, including this lifetime, it could bring it to a... Because society is telling us that it's such an important thing, isn't it? And therefore, our whole focus is on that. So that is why Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he mentioned this, he says, it becomes, as a final word, he says, Lokavattu Leela Kaivalyam. This is the word he has used in the Brahma Sutra. When he wrote Vedanta Sutra, one of the sutras is, Lokavattu Leela Kaivalyam. How Krishna is using all of us and playing this game with us. And we are just carrying on with it. There's no. Because ajnanam has not gone from inside. Avidya is very deep inside. It doesn't go. That fear is so strong inside. And therefore he says, but one who has realized the truth, for him, that this world is nothing but Leela. It is just Krishna's pastimes. Different kind of pastimes, that is what is going on here. So, he is liberated, one who has understood that. If you read the history of the famous sannyasis, yogis and all that, how they walked out from everything and finally they had no connection with this world. Practically they had no connection. For he is liberated, he has no bondage, he has no death, and for him he has no birth either. And fear of death has gone away from that person. And he also does not have the fear that he is going to take birth again. He has no fear about his own body. And he knows very well that the thing called body itself does not exist. Body itself does not exist. You can think about it sometime, that state. Think about a state like that. That you have no material body. Due to identification with the body, we are feeling all these obligations in the world, with the society, with the family and everything due to that. But a stage comes like that if you sit down sometime and think about this, that even the body does not exist, then all these connections with the society also goes away. So, those who are thoughtful and who have seen this world, and who have looked at spiritual life very seriously. And you can see there so many different kinds of activities, different kinds of sadhana, and different kinds of efforts, and everything is failing. Ultimately, everything is a failure. Failure, isn't it? And then, by Krishna's grace, which is called Kripa, due to that, Krishna reveals that to you from within, that all these things what I am upholding as important in my life is of no use to me when I leave this world. It is completely what they call in Shastram is a Brahmam. It's a Brahmam inside that it's all going to protect me. All these so-called things around me is going to protect me. And I'm trying to understand Krishna's instructions. Krishna is saying to us that that all these things did not actually help me. What has actually helped me is only that Krishna shelter. Like Uttaradevi said, like Gajendra said, like Ambarish said, and like so many others said in the Bhagavatam. That shelter, as long as the shelter is in the world and in the society, it is not possible to take Krishna shelter. That is why it's saying, Nitya Vastu for Ashrayam, Anitya Vastu for Vyavaharam. World for Vyavaharam, Krishna for shelter. We have done exactly opposite. We have done world for shelter, Krishna for Vyavaharam. Anitya Vastu for shelter, Nitya Vastu for Vyavaharam. Nitya Vastu means permanent thing. Permanent thing is for shelter. Permanent thing is not for Vyavaharam. Krishna is for shelter, not for Vyavaharam. For us now, Vyavaharam, Krishna is for Vyavaharam and the world is for shelter. Till we go, it is like that east and west business. Till we go away from this and switch from one to another, Nitya Vastu for shelter and Anitya Vastu means temporary thing, which means Avara Prakriti, which means society, is for Vyavaharam. It's only for Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means what? Now let's understand what Vyavaharam means. Vyavaharam means that you have to do things in a little bit selfish way so that you don't get trapped by their ajnanam or avidya. That is Vyavaharam. Vyavaharam, everyone tries to be careful in Vyavaharam, isn't it? When you do Vyavaharam, you're not thinking about the other party, you think about yourself first, isn't it? When you do any transaction in this world, in Vyavaharam, that is what is more important. So, Vyavaharam, Anitya Vastu is for Vyavaharam only. You can't take it as absolute. Anitya Vastu, you can't take it as absolute. And you can't use it for shelter. If you use it for shelter, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. It should be only vyavaharam, and it should be dealt only in the vyavaharam level. Not as a shelter, ashrayam. Whereas Krishna is ashrayam. That is why 12th canto of Bhagavatam is ashrayam. After doing all the other things in this world, nirodho muktira ashraya. After nirodham, after mukti, finally what is it there to be done? Ashrayam, shelter, Krishna shelter, not vyavaharam. So that is why this understanding, we have to think through this a little bit deeper and look at our own life and see the where we fit in this. Where do we fit in this? If we use the life for vyavaharam, it has to be dealt purely on a business like vyavaharam. Vyavaharam is purely a business. When you do business, what you do? You think about your interest first, isn't it? That is what it's called vyavaharam. That's why it's called vyavaharam. Vyavaharam, while conducting vyavaharam, you have to look after your interest. You are not looking at others' interest. You are looking after your interest. So exactly here also, Krishna is saying here that when you realize this, this will come one day. This realization will come, at least for everyone, while leaving the body. While leaving the body. Up to that time you are thinking, I have done so much for so many people in this world, and they, of course, they will turn up at the deathbed to come. Huh? Oh, you are leaving us now? After so many years, they'll express all their pain and other feelings, what they want to say to you, and they'll say all these things, and they'll be happy that you're gone. Because it's a problem for them also, that you are still there, oh, I have to go to hospital, I have to get the flowers, and I have to look at the traffic to the hospital. All these worries are going through in a subtle level inside, isn't it? And then this is how we are in this world. Our life is like that. So is it not better to understand this properly and deal with it in the same way? Shelter is only Krishna. There is no other shelter here. To hold on to anything else, thinking that something else is going to give me shelter, is simply what is called Brahman, illusion, Krishna is saying here. So, therefore, Krishna says here, first of all, that you have to get that fear inside. The fear must be there. And first you have to fear, fear has to come, and then you have to jump out from inside. Just like when the house gets fire, suppose you are on the ground, first floor, second floor, and you can't come down the stairs down, what will you do? You'll jump through the window, isn't it, to escape from the fire. Similarly, you have to first recognize the house is on fire. House is on fire. And when the house is on fire, the only option is to jump out from there. So, therefore, exactly in the same way, we have to recognize this, that in Kshetram, there is problem. There is problem in the Kshetram. What we are trying to do is, we are trying to keep the Kshetram peaceful somehow. Isn't it? Kshetram, we will manage and keep it in a peaceful state. And then we are looking at Kshetrajnan inside. Bhagavad Gita is saying there is a thing called Kshetrajnan inside. I am so busy with my Kshetram. Kshetram means what? Abhraprakriti. Abhraprakriti means what? Society, my body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. All this combined is Kshetram. Isn't it? So in Kshetram, I am so busy. I don't want to come out of the Kshetram, and I want to know about the Kshetrajnan inside. And that is why Krishna is saying here that first of all, recognize that Kshetram or Abhraprakriti is nothing but distress. That is what is on offer. Only then you can escape from here. He gives example that sometimes you are in a prison. You are in a prison. So when the prison officers came, the prisoner is saying to him, I don't have any complaints, he said. I'm quite happy inside. But if you can just paint this door a little bit nicely, so that when I look outside through the window, I find that it's a nicely painted door and windows, it will be quite good, he says. So we are like that. We are happy with the Kshetram, what we are inside, and we don't have any complaints. And we say that, let me try to understand Kshetrajnan, what it is, what Bhagavad Gita is saying about Kshetrajnan. And Krishna is saying here that your life is like this, as much as like a prisoner living here. So, once this question asked a sannyasi in Rishikesh, this question came up. Question was like this. We asked also the same question. How much freedom do you have? Do we have? We ask the question, isn't it? All the time we ask this question. What do they say? They say that minute independence. How much independence do we have? They asked this question to one famous sannyasi in Rishikesh. He asked this question. The sannyasi told him a very nice answer. He said, have you seen a cow when it is tied to a post with a rope? What the cow does? Cow will wander around that post, all around, and it will eat all what it can within that circle. How far it can go, that is how much freedom you have. That was his answer. Because depending on the length of that rope, that far you can go from the post. The cow can go. So, that's all we can do. We are doing so many different things in this world, and inside there is hunger, inside there is thirst, and everything. A lot of other problems also in this body. And because that hunger, jivalpa has got hunger. And because of that hunger only, to realize the truth that it has gone through so many bodies and came to this body finally. After going through so many bodies, it has come to this body. Even now, jiva is looking for the truth, wants to realize the truth. Is this body my eternal nature? A material body like this, one body after another body after another body. So it's looking for that. And it is only that hunger inside of the jivalma to find out its identity. That is what is making him to keep changing this body. So that hunger, what jivalma has got, jivalma wants to realize the truth. And that's not happening. Instead, what's happening? Name and fame, acquiring wealth, acquiring followers, recognition in the world, all this has become the priority, and jiva inside is still not satisfied. Inside, Atma is not getting that Atma Anandam or Sukham. Brahmavidya is not happening inside. Therefore, jiva is in still trouble. In spite of all these things, what has happened? And even acquiring a lot of wealth, name and fame, and even after getting reasonably good health, and good family, society, friends, everything is there, still it is not getting fulfilled. It's not getting fulfilled. So, even after learning music, art, and dance, everything, various upadhi, in spite of all that, it's not getting completed. So, even after learning all the books, shastram also, it's not getting filled in. Ultimately, Upanishad says, Panditiyam Nirveda Sankhena Tishtadi. Upanishad says like this. He says, throw away all your books. Throw away your scholarship and become like children. Become like children. Upanishad is saying to us. Because, Balyam Hitva Maunam Amaunam. Maunam Jahitva. In other words, when you become a child, what happens? You are willing to listen. Is it not? When you become an adult, you find it difficult to listen anything. Because already you are set. Your nature is set. Your mind is set. And then you find it very difficult to accept anything different than what you feel right or what you think is right. Isn't it? So, when everything is left behind, when everything is left behind, Krishna is saying, ultimately you start seeing the truth what you are inquiring after is within yourself. Is within yourself. That is what in that verse Krishna is mentioning there, that this thought will never happen. When effect of Bhagavad Gita starts working inside, then you will know that all this inquiry I have been doing all my life outside in this world, it was all a complete waste of time. And that very truth what you are after for life after life, which you are inquiring after, is right within inside. Right within inside. Instead, if you go to the temples, or to Haridwar, or to Rishikesh, or to Benares, or any holy places, or into a new ashram, somebody has opened a new ashram, let's join there. Yeah, all facilities are very good there. or you change your own ashram to brahmachari, grihastha, to vanaprastham, to sannyasam, or by any other means, what you may think you can get it, you are not going to get it. How is it spoken in the Kathopa, in the Kainopanishad? If you look, what they are saying like that, Kainopanishad says, Iha cheda vedi, atha satyamasti, na chedi ha vedi mahanti maham vinashti. Bhudeshu, bhudeshu, vichintya dhiraha, pretya swa logal amrda bhavandhi. Idi Kathopanishad dhudiya ghandha. In the second chapter, fifth verse, this is. Upanishad is saying, Kainopanishad is saying to us, Iha cheda vedi adha satyamasti means Iha cheda vedi aha satyamasti. That satyam, truth what you are looking for, you have to realize it here, today, now, inside us. That's where it is, what you are looking for. If one has realized here, then there is truth. If one has realized here, then there is truth. Iha cheda vedi adha satyamasti. Satyam is iha, here now. Na chedi ha vedi mahad mahad vinashti. If he has not realized here, then there is great destruction. Do you know what he's saying? Kavata Upanishad is saying to us, if you don't do it now, right now here in this body, at this point in time, if you do it, you may get it. You may get it. If you have not done it now, thinking that it's all going to happen sometime in the future, it will not happen. Na cheda vedi, na chedi ha vedi mahan vinashti, bhudeshu, bhudeshu, vichintya dhiraham. What is that? Bhudeshu, bhudeshu, vichintya dhiraham. That in all living entities, you started realizing this presence of Krishna inside. Having realized in all beings, and what happened to you at that time, after realizing that, pretyas, pretyasma logad amrda bhavanti, what will happen is, you become immortal. That's what will happen. That when you start realizing Krishna's presence in all other living beings, what will happen to you? You will become immortal. You will become immortal. It's a symptom of a realized person, basically. Kainopanishad is saying that. Iha cheda vedi adha satyamasti, na chedi ha vedi mahad vinashti, bhudeshu bhudeshu vijitya dhiraha, pretya asma logad amrda bhavandi. Amrda bhavandi. So that is what Upanishad has to say. Right now here, at this moment in time, while you are within this body and the mind, try to find that truth in the hrit. And when you start seeing that here, then you have Almastam Sarvabhudeshu. Krishna mentioned in the last verse, remember? Yapashyadi, Sapashyadi. Yapashyadi, Sapashyadi. That's what it is. That Paramasatyam, absolute Satyam truth, is situated within me, and within me as my own identity, my Swarupam. When you start seeing that, at that point in time, that person will have Shanti. He will have Shanti. This is what Krishna has got to say. That is what this next chapter is going to talk about. And instead of that, if you start thinking that the truth what you are looking for is outside somewhere, and it's coming and going, anything that comes, that is why that when in spiritual life, many people think that seeing Krishna is important, is it not? If you have seen Krishna, but the real understanding is that anything that comes, it will go, it will not stay. What remains with you is more guaranteed Krishna, is the within, Antaryami, or who is always giving you the identification, aham asmi, aham aham awareness, where that source, where it's coming from, that is what is eternally available, eternally with you. Other forms, what appears and disappears, it only comes and goes, isn't it? So, this understanding that finding the truth outside, that is not given much importance in the Shastram. It's not given much importance. In the early development, early stages of spiritual development, it can only be done outside. Is it not? Everything is outside because we are too outwardly nature. We have developed. And therefore, all other arrangements in this world to develop that, somehow to bring you into some faith from a wandering mind which is looking for gratification. So that is why so many things outside spoken. Shastram talks about so many things. Worship at the temple, holy places, and attachment to traveling to all these places. All this is coming from that external mind. But as much as we realize that the truth what I am looking for, if Upanishads are guaranteeing us, that is very much within, not outside. So even if you sometimes you can see some realization, what you may get from the Shastram, whether it is in the Bhagavad Gita or in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in the Salsangam, also it will come and go. Even while reading Bhagavad Gita or while reading Srimad Bhagavatam also, sometimes a reflection of that truth may come because you have been reading that part of from the Shastram, from the Bhagavad Gita. Even that, it will come and go, it doesn't stay. Is it not? When you read, some people say that when they are in a lot of difficulties and distress, they take the book and start reading Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. And when they read, they feel a relief from that. But that relief don't stay very long. After a while, as soon as you close the book and as soon as you open up your world, the whole peace is gone again, distress has come back. What does that indicate? That means even Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Upanishads, everything, as long as it remains outside, it is not effective. It is coming and going. Till all this Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, everything goes inside and start working there, only then you have escaped from the problem. Up to that time, the problem remains. So, that is why Krishna mentioned this to us previously many times. In the 10th chapter, he said, isn't it? Aham Atma Gudakesha Sarva Bhudashayastida Aham Adhyam Cha Madhyam Cha Bhudanam Andam Evaja. For this reason only, that so long as our inquiry is outside, it's not going to solve the problem. Because it's outside. The inquiry has to happen inside and the answer has to be found inside. That means there is no more further necessity to inquire outside. That stage has to come. No more further inquiry outside has to happen. Only then this Shanti state, what Krishna is saying, has happened to us. Otherwise it hasn't happened. And once, because that vastu, that realization what happens inside, that if you have got it, then you are liberated. You are liberated. And anandam or shanti will be there. The fear of death will go away. And this Bhagavad Gita is the science for that. Bhagavad Gita is the science for that. So, when we say these things in this particular way, the way I have mentioned this, people say we don't want it. What they want is some form to worship. And what they want is some do's and don'ts, instructions. And when they want having a good time together. Remember that incident? What happened? When Ramachandra was in the forest, Bharata went to see him, isn't it? All the people of Ayodhya said, oh, we can't live without Ramachandra, they said. It's terrible here in Ayodhya without Ramachandra. Valmiki makes a fun of them. Valmiki says, when Bharata started, they all started, all of them. And in the first, Ramachandra knew these people very well, because after all it is his people, isn't it? He knew them well. He crossed the river, Sarayu river, the night before and went to the other side so that they won't bother him. He wanted to go away from this world. He didn't want to be involved in all this business of administration, management, everything. You can see the same thing, that when Ahankaram goes away, Krishna also has to teach us only this one thing. When Ahankaram goes away, you are not interested in this world, in this matter, what is going on here. So Ramachandra went away. And Bharata was looking for Ramchandra, and evening they reached Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram. Bharadwaja Maharshi's ashram, there was nothing. It is just a hut with some poles he has put together and ready to collapse any time. In that way it is constructed. He is happy with that. Bharadwaja is happy with that. So when this whole population of Ayodhya came, Bharadan thought that they have to be looked after. They brought some packaged food with them, some like we do. They brought with them. But that's all run out. It won't last very long, isn't it? So Bharadwaj thought that these people do deserve, they are come from the city. They are not like us in the forest. He thought we will arrange a feast for them. Through his yoga power, he arranged a fantastic feast for them. And that too, not a feast like we do, the feast like the demigods' feast in the heavenly planets. And the people from the heavenly planets came and cooked for them and served the feast. It's there in the Ramayanam that they came, they cooked and they served the feast. After that, a facility to sleep as well. That's what the next thing we need, isn't it? After the prasadam, the next thing we want is a good place to sleep. So everything was done very well. And after seeing the facilities at Bharadwaja Ashram, these Ayodhya Vasis, Ramchandra's great, great, great devotees, are saying to Bharata, let Ramchandra stay there and let the Ayodhya stay there, we will live here. If this is the facilities available here, why should we go to Ramchandra and bother him? Let Rama be happy where he is. Let Dasharatha and Kausalya others be happy where they are. And let us stay here as we are. This is all what we need in this world. A little bit of social life, some good prasadam, and some opportunity to socialize. These are the people who are looking for spiritual life. And this is what this society is all about. And this is the society, what Krishna is saying, unless you jump out of it, this circle, there is no hope much. There is no hope at all. That is the point Krishna is making it very, very clear here. And Upanishads are also saying the same thing. All those who have run away from this, it is those people who have made it, not otherwise. Ihacheda Vedi, they are saying these words, isn't it? That Satyam is not so simple. Satyam is not available in this society. So here Krishna is saying that goal of realizing the self has to develop first within. Otherwise, it will be like this, oh, somehow I'm managing, life is going on, salsangam, adhyalpam and everything, so many things we are talking about it, but it is like the man who is limping, who cannot walk, it is his situation. A man who cannot walk, he is limping. He will say, what will he say? Can you give me a stick so that I can hold on to it and try to start walking? So, somebody gives you a stick, you can hold on to that. Suppose you are lame and you can't walk. All you are looking for, you know that you are lame. So all you want is some stick to hold on to so that you can get up and start walking. So, so you can hold on to that and start walking. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Upanishads and all that is saying to us, don't get frightened because that stick is Krishna. Krishna is there with us. Don't get frightened with the society. Said, but people do not have that faith yet that Krishna is there to help. So, on the other hand, instead, even though Krishna has made so many guarantees in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, what we like to have is an incarnation. Some incarnation if we find, saying that who comes here and says to us, I am an incarnation or a yogi or a guru or something like that, we'll go after that. We'll go after that. Because we are like that. We like something gross, sthulam. Sushmam we can't accept. Sthulam is what we are looking for. That means something, anything that comes in the sthula form, we cannot verify it. Suppose somebody says that I am the representative, Krishna's representative, or I come from the spiritual world to deliver you all, we will be very happy to go after him. But if Krishna says to us that it's there in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, so many things Krishna is saying, we are still suspicious about it. Some people are saying, was there someone like Krishna? How long ago did he live? And they question everything about him, but this gross form, whatever it may be, a guru or acharya or a jnani or a yogi or whatever it is, we will accept him without a lot of hesitation. Even if he is ripping you off, even if he is cheating you, you don't mind. You will accept that. So Upanishads is saying here that it is because of this reason rishis will not reveal anything about themselves. They don't want to cheat you. All the rishis are like that. They don't want to cheat you. They don't want to cheat you. Therefore, they will not talk about themselves. You can't get one photograph of any of the rishis. We have made photos of that. We have made ourselves. We say Vedavyasa Maharshi looks like this with a big beard, black in color and the long hair. And we have made a picture of him based on our understanding because we believe in that. Rishis never believed in their photographs. Rishis never believed in their images. Rishi never believed in their history either. In their history. So many Upanishads we have got. And we don't even know who are the Drashtav. Drashtav means through whom it was revealed. We don't even know that. And in none of the Upanishads, they didn't even write their name. Kathopanishad, author. No author for the Upanishad. Why? What is the reason for that? Because all they wanted us to know is to see the truth more than that form of the person. Whereas they know the problem. The problem is that, suppose we have said, say Kathopanishad was revealed through, say, Vishwamitra or Gautama or not, whoever it may be, we will be more interested in fighting about his life story, not the message what he has given through the Upanishad. We won't bother. Message and all can wait. We will find out, we will first evaluate him, find out his history, who is his father, whose mother is, what all he has done in his life. We will go after the person. This is where the problem comes. In that process, what will happen? You won't take his message seriously. Instead, you will start going after the person. This is a human weakness in all of us. Is it not? You can see this in this world. Krishna is giving us Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and telling you the truth as it is, but we won't take it. Instead, somebody comes and says something and he says, you follow me, I will take you back to the spiritual world. You will go after him. It's a normal nature. Somebody has to come and say to you in a convincing way that I'll take you to the spiritual world, just follow what I'm saying, 16 rounds, 4 eggs, and come with me and I'll take you there. And that person himself is not sure whether he's going back or not. And he's giving you this guarantee. This is the world today. You can see how spiritual life can be misunderstood. Krishna says so many things in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and we are really not willing to put any faith in that, we still have doubts. But some gross form comes and says something, because he has got a body, and he comes externally, appears in this world, and gives you some guarantee, you are willing to follow that. You are willing to follow that. Knowing this weakness very well, the rishis did not want to tell us anything about themselves. Not one word. Even to get a very little information about Narada Maharshi, whatever little he has spoken, that too, in relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam, he has spoken to Vedavyas a few things. This is how much we know about Narada Maharshi. Otherwise, how much do you know about other sages, about the what they have compiled and given to this world, as far as Shastram is concerned? All the Upanishads, 108 Upanishads, at least the major 10 if you take, 10 or 11, even they, we don't have any clue who spoke, who created this for us, who gave it to us. We don't know. We know that has come through the rishis, but they won't tell us who are the personality behind it. The reason is this, that they know that that satyam, for them, the truth is more important. What they realized it and what they spoke through the Upanishads, that is what they want us to take, not about their personal history. That's not important for them. And therefore, if we, in the same way they realize the truth, if we also realize the truth, we will become free. What they are telling us is, we have realized this truth and we have become free. You can also realize the truth, you can also become free. This was the point. It has helped us and it will help you also. If you find out this truth, what we have found, it will benefit you. It will benefit you. And because they were interested in the hitam, not in the priyam. They did not do anything for our priyam. What they did was all for our hitam. So, and secondly, they did not want anything from us. Nothing. They didn't expect anything from us, and they don't want anything from us, and they don't need anything from us. That is why you may have heard these prayers many places. Sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramaya. That let the whole world become benefited by this. In other words, they were always aspiring for the welfare of the whole society, for the whole world. So, those rishis, they have created this dharmam. Sanatana dharmam, as it is called. It is the rishis who have formulated these principles of Sanatana dharmam, and they created that through Upanishad's knowledge, and finally they mentioned that in its highest level, that knowledge of the Vedam, they start calling it as Vedantam, the end of knowledge. That is how it has come. Vedantam word has come in that way. The rishis have said that whatever they have realized it through the Upanishad's knowledge, and which itself is a final part of the Vedam. Vedam has got Karma Kandam, Upasana Kandam, Jnana Kandam. Three levels it is spoken. Karma Kandam in the early stages, Upasana Kandam in the householder life, and finally when realization happens, it is a Jnana Kandam, and Upanishad forms the part of that Jnana Kandam. So, and that is very end of the knowledge, when we realize the self, what we are. After that, there is nothing to be done. And that is easily available in the 18th chapter, when commenting on that, he says, Susambhadyam. Susambhadyam means it is acquired very easily. So, but provided means that Bahyagara Nivritta Buddhinam Susambhadyam. That is the Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam on that. He says, Bahyagara Vrittinam Nivritta Buddhinam Susambhadyam. Mind has to come out, buddhi has to come out of the external world. Bahyagara Nivritta Buddhinam Susambhadyam. An intelligence that has freed itself from the grip of this world, Maya, for that it is easily able to acquire. The problem is therefore there in the world outside. What is that outside? We are stuck in certain things in this world, in some places. We are sticking to something. And that, wherever you are sticking to, that is what is causing the problem. You can see here that Shanti, Anandam or Self-Realization, it will happen as soon as you break that where you are sticking to. The sticking nature within us. You can see that we go to the temple. And what is our nature? We like one temple. We don't like another temple. This God is very powerful. That God is not so powerful. We make statements like that. And this temple, everything is perfect. That temple, everything is wrong. We look at it in that way, isn't it? So, and then what we think, we are an individual. Therefore, the God also in the temple must be like us, with all character like we have. He also may have the same thing, isn't it? And we say that this deity is very powerful. In other words, I given a certificate to the deity. You're all right, Jack. You stay here. You're our God. We have accepted you in that way. We become like this. So, such people in the Upanishad says, Anyoho anyoso vedanam pashu evasaha. Vedam says, if you develop this worship like this in the temple and the deities and everything over a long period of time, that demigods and others will use them for their advantage. Because you're not realizing the truth. All you are doing is worshipping, thinking that it is going to bring you the truth one day. And demigods also knows this weakness in us. That's why it says, Anyohau Anyoso Devanam Pashu Eva Saha. Like animals, they will use us to their advantage. They will advantage. And that is why so many devadas, so much worship in so many forms, everything is going on because of this weakness inside. Weakness inside. Instead of recognizing Krishna within the heart as Antaryami, who is present in everyone, these different forms and worships, what we have created through the mind, and if you keep on go after that only, not knowing their position in the spiritual development, Krishna says, Vedam says that you will be utilized. You will be utilized by the devadas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says like this, that whether you want to be like these four-legged animals or you want to be freedom from that. When as long as the jiva decides that he wants to free himself from that and sincere about that, and to find out that truth, that jijnyasa, inquisitiveness, if that has developed inside in a very intense level, and then it will happen. Then it will happen. So, in order to know that truth, you don't have to know the truth, but at the same time, and you may not have the qualification for that, and we may not have studied everything what is required for that, knowledge and the study, everything may not be required. The important thing required is that you have to accept that truth first. Varanam it is called. Varanam means that acceptance inside. That truth is inside me. If I accept that, then it becomes a lot easier. We say now Antaryami, super soul, and so many things we talk about Krishna, isn't it? But how serious are we when we say that? Even though Krishna has spoken in so many places in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam about the role of Krishna's presence inside the heart, when it comes to spiritual life, still we are more attached to the form in the temple or in the picture or in the deity, whatever it is. Reason is this, that somehow or the other, outside world fascinates us more than the inside world. Inside world is not real to us yet. Outside world is very real. Inside world is still doubt. Everything full of doubts, isn't it? So that is why Krishna says here that first thing is that before Krishna's grace comes to us, you have to recognize that there's a thing called grace. And there is Krishna present inside, willing to give that grace. That much faith we have to have. Sometimes we say that Krishna's mercy. Do we really mean that? We all say like, oh, by Krishna's mercy, everything went very well. All I'm saying is, Krishna has fulfilled my desire and Krishna has made things life easy for me. Therefore, I'm saying Krishna's grace. That is not Krishna's, that's your prarabdham that has come through. But mistakenly, I'm giving that credit to Krishna at that time. But really, if you say, if it is Krishna's grace, what it is that if that faith in Krishna present inside, in the heart as Antaryami, who is actually running everything in life, including what happiness, distress, whatever is thrown at me in life, if all that is happened with his sanction, if I have that recognition inside and not complaining about it, then I can say that I am accepting Krishna's grace, I am accepting Krishna's presence inside. But it doesn't happen. When problem comes, what do? I run to the temple first. I don't ask Antaryami anything. What did Vedavyas do? Vedavyas consulted Antaryami. He didn't go to the temple, did he? You can see that in the Bhagavatam. When he had a crisis, he reflected on that because he is Andharmukham. That's what it says in the Bhagavatam. Because of Andharmukhatvam, he consults with Antaryami inside. And then confirmation through Narada Maharshi later. Is it not? So in the same way, that is the important thing to remember, that this Satyam is not through Shastram or through we are highly learned, or that we are highly qualified, or that you have all other qualifications necessary. What is important thing is that accepting that Krishna is inside me. Krishna is inside everyone. And that everything is happening by Krishna's arrangement. When good things comes and bad things comes, we should be able to, even on a material level, bad or good things happen, still able to know that it is inside Krishna who is behind it. That recognition won't come very easily. It won't come. That is why in order to create that recognition, if you remember, in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Maharshi told Yudhishthira. What did he say? Dravyadvaitam, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam. Three things. Through that, come to this inside. That's the only way it can happen. Otherwise, it will not happen. Because otherwise, we'll keep on saying like this, but in reality, it won't happen. Now, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, what did Rukmini do first with Krishna? Have you looked at that? When Rukmini Devi, if you look into Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, before Rukmini Swayamvaram, Rukmini married Krishna, isn't it? Before Rukmini married Krishna, Rukmini sent a message to Krishna through the Brahmana. Remember? That Brahmana who sent that message to an old Brahmana was sent. A message was sent through that Brahmana to Krishna. And Rukmini said to Krishna, if you don't marry me, I will give up my body. Isn't it? So, if you study that seriously, look at that verses in the Bhagavatam, it is the 52nd chapter, verse 37. Rukmini Vacha. Rukmini said certain things to Krishna. There's 7 verses are there. In that 7 verses, Rukmini is telling the spiritual side of it. That is more important. In story, Rukmini notes some nice thing. Shrutva agunan bhuvana sundara shrunvatam te narvishya karna vivarer haratonga tapam rubam drisham drishimadam akhilarthalapam toy achyuda avishari chitram apatrapam me kvatva mukunda mahati kulashila rupa vidyavayo dravinadhama Abhiralmatulyam, Dhirapadim Kulavati Navrnida Kanya, Kale Nrasimha Naraloka Manobhiramam, Tanme Bhavan Kaluvradam Padiranga Jaya, Alparpidascha Bhavadotra Vibhovidehi, Ma Vira Bhagam Abhimarshadu Chaityamara, Goma Yuvan Mrigavadeh Belim Ambujaksham, Purteshta Datta Neyamam Vradadeva Vipra, Guru Varchana Dhiviralam Bhagavan Paresha, Aradhito Yadigada Grajametya Vanim Krishnadumi Na Dhamagosha Sudha Dayonim, Shobha Vinitta Majido Duhane Vidarbhan, Gupta Sametya Pradana Padivipari Daha, Narmadhya Chaityam Magadendra Balam Prasahyamam, Rakshasena Vidino Duha Virya Shulkam, Andapurandara Jarim Anihatya Bandhum Swamudduhe Katamidi Pravadam Upayam, Purvedyurasti Mahadi Kuladevi Yatra Yasya Mahir Navavadur Girijam Upayan, Yasya Angri Pangajarajasnabanam Mahandu Vanchandi Aparidi Atmadamo Bahatyehi Yarhambujasha Nalabhe Yatavall Bhaval Prasadam Jakhyamasun Pratakrashan Shadajanma Bhisyal. These are the Rukmini's letter to Krishna before the marriage. This letter was sent and Rukmini question was that Rukmini sent it through the Brahmana. Rukmini says there that if you in that verses, if you read through, you'll see that Rukmini's question was she wants to go back to Krishna. But after killing, who are the problems? Problems are her brother first, Rukmi, Jarasandha, Shishubala. They were all plotting together not to marry Rukmini to Krishna. Is it not? The father of Rukmini, the king of Vidarbha, he was helpless about it because Rukmi was too powerful. And Rukmi means Rukmini's brother. Rukmi was more close to all these big personalities, Jarasandha, Shishubala and Dandavakra and so many others. And Rukmini's point to Krishna was that if I have to get them agree and then I'm going to come and marry you, that's not going to happen. Because Rukmi has made it very clear, first day itself, that I'm going to get you married to Shishubala, is it not? So she knew very well that persuading them was impossible. Rukmi has made up his mind. What's interesting there is, if you look Rukmini's brother's names, have you seen in the all Rukmi, 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 Rukmavadi, Rukmangadan, like that, so many names mentioned there. So that incident, what happened was, Rukmini says to Krishna, I am yours, I am yours. That's all Rukmini did. Rukmini didn't do anything. Rukmini, that is what is this thing called Varanam. Varanam means, Rukmini says to Krishna, I am yours. In other words, she left Aparaprakriti and she says to Paraprakriti, I belong to Paraprakriti. Krishna is Paraprakriti, isn't it? Whereas Jarasandha, Shishubala, they are all Aparaprakriti as far as Rukmini is concerned. So Rukmini says to her that the importance of accepting Krishna inside is so important that she says to him that if you don't, I have accepted you. Now it's up to you. And Krishna couldn't say anything after that. Is it not? Because she has accepted him. And so Rukmini says, Rukmini said this, as soon as these words were spoken, that is the last verse there. Yasyangri pangajarasam pangajarajasnabanam mahando vanchandi mapadirival padamo bahatyehi. That I have accepted you. Rukmini is saying to Krishna, I have accepted you and that is what I want. And if you don't accept me, I have accepted you, but if you don't accept me, I have no choice. What is that choice? I have only one choice. What is that? Yarhyambujaksha na labheya bhaval prasadam. If you do not recognize my surrender, then I will give up this body. Jekhyamasun vratakrishan shadajan mabhisyal. And even if it takes 100 lifetimes, I will follow you. I will not leave you. This is acceptance. This is that determination of Rukmini. To say to Krishna like this, Krishna couldn't say anything about that. And that is the time, up to that time he asked a Brahmana, what is the message? It's not that message was spoken and Krishna immediately left. No. Krishna says to the Brahmana, if it is like that, I am ready to go. This is from Krishna's side. So when the message came, Krishna didn't read the message. Krishna told the Brahmana to read the message. The Brahmana who brought the message. And that Brahmana had to read the message so that we could all hear. Suppose Krishna read the message, we won't hear it, would we? Krishna will read the message and put it in the envelope and put it on the table. We won't be hearing. That is why the message was read by Brahmana. Krishna told the Brahmana, you read the message. Krishna knows how to read, don't he? So, but he didn't read the message. Normally, if somebody sends you a message, you will read it, isn't it? You won't ask somebody else to read it for you. But Krishna asked Rukmini's message deliberately for the Brahmana to read. Let the world hear what's my relationship with Rukmini. When Rukmini said to Krishna that Yarhyambu is all the Shrutva Aguna Anbhu Anasundara, so many things Rukmini is saying about Krishna. Also, he said, Dhirabadim Kulavadi Navrani Dakanyam Kali Nrsimha Naralogamano Bhiramam. That Rukmini knows who Krishna is, who came as Narasimhamurti before. That's what she is saying there. Who came as Narasimhamurti there. But when this verse was read out, apparently Krishna smiled. The reason being that when Narasimhamurti appeared, Lakshmi Devi got so frightened because at that time Rukmini was Lakshmi Devi, wasn't it? She frightened and ran away from there and told Brahma, you go and talk to him, seeing the anger in Krishna, in Narasimhamurti. And now, Rukmini is right saying this to Kali Narasimha Naraloka Manobhiramam, that how beautiful incarnation that Narasimha incarnation was. When he said that, Krishna started smiling, it seems. Because all this is implied in these verses. That seeing Rukmini, that way Rukmini ran away that day, seeing that form of Narasimhamurti, how when Krishna appeared. And now Rukmini is saying very happily how beautiful that form was, Narasimhamurti's form. So after saying all that, finally Krishna, Rukmini says to Krishna, that yasyangri pangajarajasnabanam mahando vanchandi, abadiri valpmatamo bahatyehi, that if I have not surrendered myself to you, it is suicide, she says. Atmahati. What it means, it is nothing but suicide. That's how she says. This is suicide. Suicide means not surrendering to Krishna. In that sense, Atmatamo Bahatehi Yarhambujakshanalabheya Bhaval Prasadam. And if you do not recognize this, my surrender, Jahyamasun Pradakrishan Shadajanma Bhisyal, I have only got one choice. What is that choice? If I have to take another 100 lifetimes, I will take another 100 births and come back and come to you. Finally, I'll come to you. That is the determination of the jiva. Rukmini is actually a jiva. It's a representation of the jiva here. Jiva, how much a determined jiva has to be in spiritual life to go back to Krishna or to realize the self. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Only to explain that, it is spoken in the story form in this way, that I'll take another 100 lifetimes and still I'll come to you. It's all spoken in the story way. What it is, the tattvam behind that is that jiva has only to do this one thing, to accept that Krishna is there to give the shelter and protection. And going back to Krishna means to recognize Krishna's presence inside and surrendering unto him as Antaryami. Like it says in the Bhagavad Gita, is it not? It's there in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? What does it say? No, at the end in the 18th chapter. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Indrarudhani Maya Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Their surrender. Surrender to that Antaryami inside. Tameva Sharanam Gacha. How? Sarvabhavina Bharata. Why? Yal prasadal param shandi, by his prasadam param shandi will come. Sthanam, that state, prapsesi shashvatam, and that too eternal. Krishna didn't say, if you see me with your eyes, this outside eyes, if you see me once, you will go back home back to Godhead. You will get fully released from the material existence. Instead he is saying, that yal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam, eternally you get released from the cycle of birth and death. That is that difference between seeing the form and realizing the self inside, Krishna's presence inside. So that is important here too. So then the question is coming here, that as soon as jiva accepts Krishna inside the heart and knowing very well, as accept Krishna from within the heart, come out of this misunderstanding that the shelter is outside, rather the shelter is inside. Shelter is inside. And as soon as this understanding is strong inside, and you have made that realization of the self as the goal, and you have got this intense desire that I want to be myself free from this whole situation, what I am in today. If that has happened, then Acharya Swamiji says in the Bhagavad Gita's commentary that Krishna who is within the heart, he will come outside and in some form, and he will reveal that knowledge to the person, and he is the guru. But prior to that happening, inside this has to happen. That Antaryami inside, all this will make sense if you read Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavadam. Atmano guru atmaiva purushasya visheshata. This Atma, Krishna inside, he has to come as guru atmaiva. Atma has to come as the guru. Only he is the real guru. There is no other way you can have a guru. When Atma inside prompts from within, when you have taken this attitude that I am surrendering to Krishna, taking complete shelter of Krishna, I want Krishna's protection, and accepted Krishna is there to give me the shelter. Krishna is my sole shelter, like Uttara did, like Draupadi did, like many others did in the Kundidevi did, and so many others did in the Bhagavatam. In the same way, when our surrender has become perfect within, that we have come a long, long way in spiritual life through surrender process, accepting and recognizing Krishna's presence inside the heart and surrendering there, like studying Bhagavad Gita and accepting that principle. And when all that happens, it is at that time that Krishna inside decides to come outside in a particular form and speak the truth to us and make us convinced about it. That is the role of the Guru. This is how it happens. This is how it has happened throughout the history. That it didn't happen. I was walking around the street, I found a board there, some institution, I walked in and says, what have you got to offer? He says, oh, we got all this list of gurus, pick one from that and become a disciple. This is not the system. This is a system what we have created. This is not how spiritual life works. It cannot work like that. This is our misunderstanding. That this is unfortunate that it is how spiritual life is presented today. And we make it more and more user-friendly, isn't it? For the public-friendly, in other words. And it loses its potency in that way. It cannot work like this. If when you speak these things, if you are not feeling happy about it, I can't do anything. This is the way Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is talking to us. Spiritual life is always very, very subtle. It is to be understood in that subtle level. If you move away from the subtlety of it, and if you make it more and more gross, what will happen is, we will remain as we are today. We will remain in the same gross level forever. We will not move away to the subtle side of the spiritual life. And that is why, what is Krishna saying here is that, if you, in this way, if you come to know the truth, there is a benefit. Krishna says, there is a benefit. In this chapter, Krishna is saying, if you get to know the truth in this particular way, Krishna has spoken. What is that? Look at the verse 20 in this chapter. What Krishna says about that. Janmam mrityu jara vyadhi. Janmam mrityu jara vyadhi. Vimukto amrutam asnute. You will get released from birth, death, old age and distress, he says. Previously, Krishna said, what did he say? Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam. He says in the earlier chapter. Earlier chapter, he says in a janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam, he said. And here Krishna is saying, janma mrityu jara dukkher vimuktam amrutam asnute. You'll get released from birth, death and old age and dukkham, distress. And finally, vimuktam amrutam asnude, you get released and you get to the state of immortality. You get to the state of immortality. We cannot manufacture our own process. It has to be way Krishna has structured it, there is a way. And that way has to remain as it is. There is not going to change. And throughout history also, you will see that was followed. That was followed. When you see the importance of that process, what Krishna has spoken, you can appreciate that the our gross nature is always coming as a block in this process all the time, isn't it? That we want to make it everything more accessible to everyone in this world, and we also want to make it more easily accessible to others, out of our compassion or whatever it is. But as we said in the beginning of this chapter, that if you try to bring it down to the ordinary level, it loses its potency. It will not work anymore. Sri Narada Maharshi told this to Vedavyas, is it not? He told that, he saw in the fifth chapter, that Nayatra Hamsam Niramanyu Shikshaya, he says, that Vedavyas, Narada Maharshi says to him, don't bring spiritual knowledge to the ordinary level. Let those one, let them come up and take it from the higher level. Otherwise, it will lose its strength. It cannot do the job what it is meant to do. So here, so in this chapter, this is that word comes primarily. Which one? Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukham vimukto amrtam asnade. Janma mrityu jara dukham vimukto amrtam asnade. Because our main problem, if you think about it, is this. One of our main problem is this body. Isn't it? Body is a main problem. When you are in your childhood, or when you are youth, in your youth, it's not a big problem. It's not a big problem. After a while, it changes its swabhav, its nature. Isn't it? Body changes its nature. It doesn't listen to us anymore. A stage comes like that. Body does not listen to you anymore. And at that time, all our shastram fails. Whatever shastram is there, it fails. Because this body, its nature is like that. It won't listen to anybody. It goes its own way, it grows. Its own way, it acts in this world. And its own way, it changes. And its own way, it leaves you at the end. And only then you realize how helpless you are about it. At one point, all of us realize it. How helpless we are about this body is concerned. Somehow or the other, this delusion or Brahman inside me, thinking that, this is my body. After all, I've done this. I've taken so much exercise. I've taken all the vitamin tablets. And I have done everything, slept properly. I have looked after my body. At least body will be okay. Some illusion in my head, like that. But when it starts showing its real colors, then I can't do anything about it, is it not? Body starts giving problems, and it starts telling me that, look, I'm not under your control, I'm independent. It's telling me in an indirect way. And anything you do, it all goes in a different way. And it's not working. So then, knowing all these things, what does people say? People say to you, if you don't look after the body, if there is no wall, how can you draw a picture? They argue like that, isn't it? They make this statement that if you don't have a body, how can you realize the self? They will ask this question. And therefore, you should look after your body very well, they say. And that person who is telling you this, he himself has got a lot of problems with his body. And he is telling you that look after yourself very much. You know, eat all these special diets. You Google, you'll find so many things there. Everything good for your health. And anything you take in this world, Google will tell you it is a disease, is cure for this disease. Or if your blood pressure is high, take this. If you have got diabetes, take this. If you have got heart problems, take this. If you have got this, that, take that. There's an empty number of lists. Like if you go outside and look there, there is a support group for every disease. There are advertisements there. For cancer, there is one. For heart disease, there is one. For diabetes, there is one. For TB, there is one. So, you like to create a society there of all the diseased people. Different diseases, they all want to be together. We have got all same diabetes, so we'll form a group together and find us. What do the group will help? Group can only tell you, I'm suffering, you also suffer, so you feel a relief. We are both suffering the same things. I'm not knocking them down. Let them continue with their group, whatever it is. It doesn't matter to me. But what I'm saying is that this body is like that. It will put you through all this illusion, thinking that if I join the diabetes group, my diabetes problem will go. It won't. Type 2 will become type 1 or worse than that one day. And what the group can do about it. So similarly, what we are thinking about this body is a gross misunderstanding. That body, I can manage, I can run the show, I can't do anything. It goes its own way, it's doing various things here. And therefore, so many people, if you look at that, you ask the question, how this disease has come? You have no answer for that. Why it has come? You say, can you answer the question? Doctors also don't know why it has come. You can say so many things that, oh, this was lacking, that vitamin was lacking, that's why this is happening. Most often when you go and sit in front of the doctor and you tell your complaints, he is thinking what medicine to write for you and send you off. He can't do anything about it. He doesn't know what has happened. And then they will put you in some category and say to you that this disease, we can only do these things with this disease. And so sometimes if you get cured, some doctors will get some credit. Oh, that doctor has treated me, has cured my illness. They say like that. Isn't it? Because the only thing what has happened is at that time you went to that doctor and he wrote the prescription and you got the medicine and took it. That's what has happened. So ultimately you can see that the body itself is a disease. Body itself is a disease, and it is not a pessimistic statement. It's not a pessimistic statement. Because what is body? What is body? Body is nothing but it is the karmam that has been spit out. It has been spat outside. Do you understand? That's why it's called prarabdham. Prarabdham is that part of karmam which has been, what do you say, spit it out. It has been spit out from the mind. Mind, in mind carries all the prarabdham, all the sanjitam, agamam, prarabdham, all three are there. Prarabdham is that one which has been spit out in thing. So so here in see, so therefore if you say like this, I don't know whether you will understand what it's saying. What I'm saying is that doctors and the science and everything, they will say so many things. Do not get completely carried away by all that, because they'll say to you, in future we have this thing, that thing. All the time they're talking about future, what they're going to do about this disease. But if you study these two chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th and this 13th, it's more or less clear. Krishna is very open and honest with us, telling us, look, you have got this body and you will have problems. That's all it is. Simple, very simple, Krishna has put it to us. Don't put all your faith in this, thinking that with this body you are going to make it happen. Perfection. Perfection is not possible. One day, the way it has come, it will go in the same way. This much understanding is there. Sometimes you wonder, they spend so much money and energy in trying to perfect this body with their research work and the medical field, everything. As a job people are doing, you can't do anything about it. That's their job. It's just a job. But when you look at it from a different angle, you can see that there is no solution even with the medicine. There's no solution to that. So therefore, science will say so many things. And when science says so many things, we will also say so many things in the same way. Because science is saying, so we saying, we also repeat the same thing. Blood pressure, sugar, diabetes or these or what, whatever thing, whatever they have given the name to it, we will also repeat the same thing. And you can also see that every disease, they have made it so organized way now, that there is support groups and there is also specialists for that. And you get a satisfaction, though I've been referred to a specialist now. So I should be alright, because specialist is going to look at me. What is specialist going to do? He's also got his own body is in trouble. What he is going to do with this? So it's very often we put all this faith in all these people, and ultimately all our time and energy goes in that direction. And finally what has happened is, Krishna is saying here that like so many things in the, this is all the part of the delusion inside. Like they say, the science is saying energy, you can make it into solid form. Energy also, they are saying like this. So even that is not, this thing is called, Krishna calls it as the mind. Mind. Mind is nothing but this psychic energy. Psychic energy. And that psychic energy, which the science call it a psychic energy or the mind, that comes as agamam and sanjidam karmam. Agamam and sanjida karmam. And so this agama karmam and sanjida karmam, its form is this mind and the causal body. Karana shariram. Karana shariram and the mind is the form of this karmam. Which one? Agama karmam and Sanchita karmam. Sanchita karmam is the mind. Agama karmam is the causal body. Causal body. Yeah. And prarabdham is that one, is that same sankalpam which is inside now each one of us, what we carry with us in the form of agamam and sanchitam. Similarly, the karmam which was inside us, when it has become its gross form, it came out in the stulam gross form, that is what we call as prarabdham. And this body is that thing, that prarabdham. In other words, that has been spit out. It has been from inside, it has been spit out, spitted out. So, in other words, now you can't do anything about it. It has come out. What you can do now is with what is inside, which is Sanchitam and Agamam. Sanchitam is in the mind, Agamam is in the causal body, Karana Shariram. Prarabdham is come as the Stula Shariram in this form. That is why I am saying that even though doctors and science will say so many things and we will put all our faith in that, inside you should know this well, that when things are going wrong, there is nothing you can do about it, because behind everything it is that prarabdham that is keeping this body like this, in this particular way. One body may live longer time, another body may go before that. One body may live healthy, another body may have all kinds of diseases in the body. So, to different degrees, different people, different illnesses, all comes, and body, you keep suffering with the body. Because prarabdham is karmam, which is already thrown out from inside, is this gross body. Where is all the body stored? Sanchitam, karana shariram, it is in our subtle body, isn't it? Why Sanchitam is there? Because it is that one which will mature in the next body and come out as the next body. So, emptying that subtle body is the first thing. Emptying that subtle body, Sanchitam. That is where all our karma vasana is stored up. What is lying in the karana shariram, all that gets transferred into this Sanchi. Sanchitam means Sanchi, the bag inside before the time of death. Before the time of death. So, when you leave this gross body, that body is very big. Which one? This bag is very big. Sanchita Shariram is very big. Prarabdham is over, therefore that gross body is over. It is this Sanchita Shariram that takes another form from there, another quantity is taken out, and that whatever that is powerful in that Sanchita Vasana, which is very powerful vasanas, it is those vasanas which has got more power that comes at the time of death and offers you the next gross body. That is why Krishna is saying in the Bhagavadam, if you look, mrityu atyandave smriti. At the time of death, Uddhava, what will happening is that when you go on to your next body, what will happen? Some form will come in front of you, thought, in the form of thought waves, it will appear. That vasanas which are most powerful in the in this bag, in the Sanchita Shariram. This is Stula Shariram, Sushma Shariram. Sushma Shariram means the Sanchita Shariram. In that Sanchita Shariram, whatever that is more powerful, those vasanas will take out in the form of thought waves and come. And if those thoughts which are the most powerful, they will decide your next Prarabdha Shariram. Next Prarabdha Shariram will come from that. If we understand the subtlety of the transmigration of the jiva, then there is no point to thinking that my prarabdha shariram I can rectify. You may get some relief here and there, but that does not have solved the problem. You are not solving the problem. You cannot rectify the problem if the body is concerned. It will come in one form or the other, and you will. That is why Krishna is saying here that prarabdham is thulam, whereas Sanchitam and Agamam is Sushma. Do you understand that difference? Prarabdham is Stulam. Sanchitam and Agamam is Sushma. Agamam is Sushma. Only reason being that it's already been spit out. It's been spat out. Is that right thing to say? It has been spat out, isn't it? that Sanchita Shariram, the subtle body has spat it out. Therefore, it has come in the gross form, and that is this body. That is this body. In other words, what it means is, there's not a lot you can do about it anymore. That is why Shastram says, you have to work with the subtle body rather than with the gross body. Because in the field of this gross body, nobody is independent here. Nobody is independent here. Because it's already escaped from the bag. It has already jumped out of the bag. Because it has already appeared in the nature, in the material nature. It has already appeared in the nature. It's only an appearance. That also you have to remember. It's only an appearance. Science has not studied any of these things. Science is working in a completely gross level. All that they know about it is this body. And the little bit about the mind, they say there is something called mind inside. And they keep saying that there is some relationship between the mind and the body. Beyond than that, they haven't gone very far. Mind does, they don't know anything about it. All that, it's only an appearance. But science does not think like that. Science says this body is everything. Other things are all illusion. They are not very sure about the subtle body and other things. Whereas for Vedam, where Vedantam says, this is not real, the other one is real. Because other one is what matters. Other one is what is going to drive you into your next life. Other one will be, which will come as the next body for you. Not this body. This body has already come out. There's nothing you can do about it. This is the philosophy. This is Krishna consciousness. Krishna is saying this to us, that what has already come out, don't worry about it. It has come in this body. What can we do? It has come. It's come out already. It's already taken shape. That karma inside has already taken shape and it has come like this. You can't repair it, fix it, do anything about it. Little patchwork you can do. But that's also not very definite. That's an important point. Instead, Krishna's point is, if you do not allow that vasanas inside to grow in the Sanchita Shariram or in the subtle body, if you do not allow that vasanas to take another body or to take the shape of another body and to spit out again, then you can avoid another gross body. That is the point. And science will not go any further than this. They will invent new things, new machines, new gadgets and all that. But this subtle side of life, they cannot get it because they haven't done the things what's necessary to know the subtleties inside. And therefore, the progress of the science also is uncertain on these areas. You see, Vedam is saying to us, now again, another interesting thing. Vedam says to us, first, this knowledge was there. After the knowledge only, creation happened. Look at the way science looks at creation and the Vedam looks at creation. Vedam is telling us that initially the knowledge existed. All this knowledge existed in the beginning. From after that, from subtle things, gross things have come. Creation happened, that means earth, the oceans, the mountains, all the living entities, human species, all of them has come later. Prior to that, this knowledge existed. And we are thinking, we have come to this body in human form, isn't it? And we are thinking, we have to find out the knowledge now. No, knowledge was already there. We came later. We are thinking, we have to find out the knowledge. That means we are thinking, we have to research, experiment, and conduct all sorts of things to find out what the knowledge is. No, knowledge is already there. This is where the difference between the Vedic thinking and the science. Science is thinking we have to find out what the answer is, isn't it? That's why this continuous research is going on because of that. Looking for the knowledge. But Krishna is saying to us, this knowledge is already there before you came. That is the difference. That is why in the Bhagavatam, how did Krishna say? Very beginning itself, janmadiyasya yataha. Before everything was created, who was there? Krishna was there. The knowledge was there. Krishna means knowledge here. You have to see Krishna in different way. Some place Krishna is Atma, some place Krishna is the knowledge. All this is Krishna's different manifestations, isn't it? That is why when we refer to Krishna as a person, all opulences, aishwaryasya, samagrasya, viryasya, yashasya, shriya, jnanam, vairagyam. Six things talked about as Krishna. Isn't it? We say it is all in Krishna. When we say that, you misunderstand in a different way. You start thinking, oh, Krishna must have the biggest computer in his head, keeping all the information on his head. isn't it? That's how you see it. But that's not how it is. When we say Krishna has got all the opulence, what do we say? We think, oh, Krishna must be driving the latest model car. Or Krishna must be having, and when we say that Krishna, when we, you have to analyze that words in the proper way. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnana vairagyam. All six things, isn't it? In Krishna, opulence of Krishna, therefore he is called Bhagavan, is it not? Why, how is that, how do you relate that with Krishna? This is how you relate with Krishna. That what he is saying to us is, the knowledge existed before creation. Not that creation existed and then the knowledge came later. The scientists are looking for the knowledge where this creation has come from through their research work. And Krishna is laughing at us. That Krishna is saying that before creation came, the knowledge existed. It is from the knowledge when it took into a gross form, creation happened. When our karmam took a gross form, body came. This is how it is. This gross body has come, why? Because of our karma vasanas inside, it took up the form of a body. Of course, this business has started long ago and we went through so many bodies, isn't it? We went through so many bodies. So it's quarter past five. I'll stop for a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamahada vagni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandrika vivaranam vidhyavadu jivanam anandam budhivardhanam pratipada purnamrada swaganam sarvapna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namna amagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpita nimira smaranena kala ఏదాదృశం తమ కృపా భగవాన్ మమామి గుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజనినానురాగాః తృణారవిషు నీచేన తరోరపి సహిష్ణున అమాని నామానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదాహరి నదనం నదనం న సుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాత్ భక్తిరహైదువిత్వై ఐ నందనోజకింకరం పతితామాం షమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాదమంగజస్థితధూళి సదృశం విచిన్తయ నయనం గలశుధారయా వదనం గద్గదిరుద్ధయా గిర పులగేర్నిజనం గదావభూ తవ నామగ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుగాయిదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయిదం శూన్యాయిదం జగత్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే ఆశ్లిష్యవాదరదాం వినష్టవాం అదర్శనాం మహలాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వావితదాదిరంబడో మత్ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నేమనాపరా. So, you may think why I am saying all these things which about body, about the karma and all these things, because when we start discussing these three modes of material nature, without knowing the background of it, it won't make any sense. You can just go touch and go each verse as it is written in the book, read through it. But also at the same time, we should know this, that what is the significance of three modes of material nature in our life. So, mainly, coming back to this subject again, that gross body is already has come out from the subtle body. That's why we say body has come from the mind, isn't it? We say like that. Generally what people think, I got my body and there's a thing called mind inside. I don't know why is he giving me trouble, this thing called mind. You have come from that. This gross body has come from that. And therefore, gross body, you can't do anything anymore. What you can do something about is this karana shariram or sushma shariram, both. That's where, and at the time of, before death, as I said before many times, that at the old age, karana shariram shrinks, sushma shariram grows. Well, when you are born newly, a baby has huge karana shariram and a very small sushma shariram. The transforming that vasanas in the karana shariram into the sushma shariram is what happens during the baby's life. In the early years, the baby sleeps 16-20 hours. A baby sleeps, isn't it? Why does she sleep? Because it is only in the deep sleep this vasanas of karana shariram can be transferred into the sushma shariram. In the sleep, it happens. So that is, these are fundamentals in philosophy, in Krishna consciousness. There's nothing much to say about it. There's no question of checking it or doubting it or experimenting it or researching it. There's no need for all that. All these things rishis even talk about it because it's understood. There's no need to explain that to anybody. But because we are now in the age of science and we question everything and we don't trust the rishis, we will trust the scientists but we won't trust the rishis. So therefore we have got all these things, problems also. So here, this thing that knowledge was there first, creation happened later. Creation happened later. Just like subtle body was there, vasanas were there, body came out later. And rishis are telling us, if you want, you can find it out and get released from this problem. That's all the rishis are saying to us. So, the knowledge what they have got, the rishis, they are giving it to us. And only when you experience that knowledge, in realization when it comes out, then it will get you liberated from this situation what we are inside. Shariram, material body, externally it is already your sankalpam inside which you have spat it out. It is a sankalpam, remember that. Sankalpam means what? It is in your imagination that this body, it is not a real thing. People have so much problem with these things because so much absorption in the body brings this problem. That when you say to somebody, body is not real, they get a shock. Body is not real? You are telling me that body is not real? That there is something wrong with your philosophy. You must be a Mayavadi, they say. That otherwise how can you say body is very real, is it not? That's their argument. What can you do with them? They are in such a gross state of existence. What all they can do is to keep their body nicely trimmed and look after your body. That's all I can say to them. Because they find it very difficult to understand that body is already, that was already inside from your mind. It has jumped out in the form. And that form has come and that is body. Nothing else than that. So this sankalpam, which is all, and there is more to come in your subtle body, there is more to come in the form of body. But only difference is, this you already spit it out and therefore it has taken this gross form. So, for example, you can see, suppose somebody wants to become very fat. Somebody is very skinny. He says, I want to become very, very fat. If you keep on keeping that sankalpam in your head, and if you live like that, finally you will become fat. What will happen is, if you may not become fat in this life, next body you will get with a fat body. Because sankalpam has not gone from inside. That is how powerful that sankalpam is inside. You may not be in this life, you may not get that fat body. You may or may not get that fat body. What I'm saying is, a person, if you can see, sometimes people get so obsessed with their body's shape, isn't it? Thin or fat and weight and all sorts of things. People look at the body, how people judge the body. And if it is like that, Shruti says this, Vedam says this, says, yat krido yat sankalpaha. What is in your sankalpam, accordingly your body. It will happen in that way. Tat abhisa sambadhyade. You can make up that, create that right now with your power of sankalpam. Suppose you want to see that day and night, if you want to become thin, somebody who is very fat is thinking that, I want to become thin somehow or the other. If you keep on thinking like that, after a while, you will spit out that sankalpam from inside and you will become thin. You will become thin. So, if it does not happen in this life, if it did not happen in this life, you will have to take another birth and to become thin. To have that thin body, the slim body. That is how it works, this subtle thing works inside. That is why Krishna is saying here, in order to become thin, you have to take another birth. Similarly, a person who has got a dark body thinks that I want to have a white body. If that attachment develops inside, he will have to take another birth to get a white body. Because he wanted that white body. Equally, if a white person thinks I want to have a dark body, he will have to come here with a dark body in the next life because that sankalpam has gone in the subtle level. That is why when this question was asked, Ajari Swamiji, at the age of 8, he answered this. He said, Na shuklam, na krishnam, na rektam, na peetam, na peenam, na kubjam, na hraswam, na dirgam, avidyatmagatva, trayamtram, trayastam, twariyam, tadego vashishtam, shiva kevaloham. He's saying like this. He said, Na shuklam, na krishnam. At the age of 8, he realized that I am not black, I am not white. First thing, he talks about himself. Na rektam na peenam. I am not red, I am not yellow. Na peenam na kubjam na hraswam na dirgam. I am not thin, I am not skinny, I am not fatty. I am not small, I am not big. Avidyatma gatva treetnam turiyam. All due to my avidya inside, our avidya, this is all our avidya. That to think that I want to become fat, I want to become thin, I want to become black, I want to become white, all these kind of things. He's saying here, an 8-year-old child has said this, that I am not black, I am not white, I am not fat, I am not slim, I am not short, I am not tall. None of them is me. None of them is me. And this form, tadego. He says, avidyatmagatva trayatnam turiyam. Because of avidya in me, all these kinds of things will comes out. But what remains, if you take away all these things, what remains? That's me. That's me. Tad ego vashishtam shiva kevaloham. That is my identity. That's my identity. Now, an 8-year-old child could say this, and today, 80-year-old person is not able to come to this understanding. Even an 80-year-old person, he's also thinking how to keep my body in a good shape, isn't it? So, that knowledge, what a child had at 8 years, is still not happening when we are 80 and 90. It is not happening. So, so when you say that none of this is me, what is not me, mind is not me, intelligence is not me. So, without this body, without this mind, without this body and without this mind, in the night when you sleep, in the deep sleep state, when you are comfortably sleeping, what is there at that time? That's my Swarupam. That's my Swarupam. Because in the field of the body, I am not independent. In the field of the mind, I am not independent. If you say like this, all these things, you may start thinking, then who am I? In the field of body, you are not independent. In the field of mind, you are not independent. In the field of intelligence, you are not independent. Then what independence do I have? What is the way to have some independence? That is where the rishis, they have formulated a thought process. Chinta Paddhati, they call it. And that is the big difference between the rishis analysis and the sciences analysis. Science has analyzed in a gross level, extremely gross level, and put us in this situation where we are today. And the rishis are telling us, don't go down in that road. What you are having, because science is looking more, taking more attention to the body, to the mind, to the intelligence, to the ego, without caring the least for that vastu inside. Is it not? Soul, not at all a topic of discussion for the scientist. And Shastram, Vedam, Rishis are telling us, don't look down in that road. Everything is here in the soul. Everything is in the soul. Not in the body, not in the mind, not in the intelligence, not in the ego. That is the difference. That thought power, that thought process of the Rishis and the scientists, you can see here. So, Rishis, they stuck to it. They didn't change it at any time. All the great Rishis, they stuck to it. Whether it is Vasishtha, Vishwamitra, or Durvasav, a list is there, Krishna's friends as they are called in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Krishna told Rukmini, my friends are not very good looking, you know, he says to Rukmini, all with big beard and matted hair, and sometimes their clothes are also not very good, and often they come to see me, he said. And don't you are born in a prince's family. You are a princess, isn't it? From the royal family you are. And you have got high connections, aristocratic connections. And like Rukmi, her brother, was a prince. And then high level relations with the Vidarbha Raja's royal family friends like Jarasandha, Shishupala and Chedi and Dandavakra and so many others listed there. So you come from such a background and your social life is on a very higher level. My friends are these ones. Which one? These rishis. And look at them. When they come to see me, you get up and walk away from there. You don't want to sit with them or listen to them. And now when they come and see me, when they come to see me, what do? They sit there and start glorifying me. That's what they do, and then they go away. So the Krishna's children, Pradyumna and below Samba and others, grandchildren, they were all, when they wanted to get themselves destroyed at the end, before the mausoleum, that particular pastime happened, Krishna induced in their mind this thought. What was that thought? They started thinking, but these ages were passing through. Who all? Vishwamitra, Durvasa, they were all walking through. Suddenly, never they thought this before. Never in their mind they ever thought about this. At that particular time in their mind, this thought came. What are these people doing? They come to the palace, see Krishna, sits there and glorifies him, saying this and that, and they have a big feast and then they go. What kind of guests are these? And they started talking in an offensive way. And Durvasava and others took notice of that. That is why Durvasava was the one who handed over the final blessing to them. that he did that. And we don't understand all these things, this connection between this Krishna's family. And every opportunity, if you look in the Bhagavatam, you will see there. They come, they visit Krishna at the right time, and Krishna enjoys their association. Because it is through them, this knowledge has come to this world. This knowledge has come to this world. And often, we start thinking about Durvasa. Who is this Durvasa? After all, I am a devotee. Ambarish Maharaj is also a devotee. And look at Durvasa. He got into problems with him. Whereas I am in the same level with Ambarish. What does Durvasa know? This is how we are seeing things. This is our problem. This is how we are taking things. If you say any one word about Durvasa, it is not pleasing to Krishna. It is not pleasing to Krishna. Because in Krishna's estimate, people know these things. They find this contradiction. Durvasa gave the greatest blessings to Radharani, isn't it? Durvasa blessed Rukmini and Krishna. Krishna says, it's my spiritual master. We don't take notice of that. And we start thinking, oh, Durvasa, how offensive. He's a demon, isn't he? He offended Ambarish so badly and he ran away and he was, Sudarshana Chakram was chasing him everywhere. Finally he came and we hear that Durvasa is a jnani, whereas Ambarish is a devotee. I am a devotee, so I am better than Durvasa. Is it not? This is how we read Bhagavatam. This is what I said before, that if you, in Rajogunam and Tamogunam, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will misunderstand everything. You will get all wrong picture in your head. You will get a completely misunderstanding about that. Same thing about Vishwamitra also. Same thing about Bharadwaj. Same thing. If you look into this history of some of these sages, what they have done throughout Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, everything what they do is planned by Krishna. It is Krishna's representatives, they are in this world. And it is through them that this Vedic culture has come. So, Hrishis stuck to that, this truth. They will not change their position on that. So, what they have found out is, material world is not materialistic. This is their first realization. We are saying material nature, material life, materialistic and everything. They found out it is not materialistic because they found out one important thing. What is that? That behind all these material nature and material activities, what is going on? The root of all that is Krishna's grace, Karunyam, Shanti or Priyam, what has come from Krishna, from the soul, from Atma. It is only because of that all other things have happened later. It is because of Karunyam that Krishna has come creation. And when a baby is born, along with that baby, father and mother is provided for that baby to show mercy to that child and to bring up that child. And for others also to show their mercy to them. And they are doing everything for the sake of baby. If Krishna has not set it up like that, what would have happened in this creation? Can you imagine that? If the children, babies, don't get that attention from the parents when they were born, and the mother and the father is able to make so much sacrifice for that baby, who is doing that? Where is that coming from? If that Antaryami inside is not prompting from within, how will that child survive in this world? This is why it is said, Krishna's Karunyam and Krupa. And it affects everybody, isn't it? We were also children, babies one day. Somebody has looked after us, otherwise how we would have survived in this world? So, in order to show to that when that is coming from the father or the mother towards the baby, it is not coming from the father or mother, it is actually Krishna's Krupa, Krishna's mercy that is coming. And all that has happened is, from the material nature, Prakriti, from where it is arranged in such a way, that Karunyam or Krupa or mercy, whatever that is, you have only become a channel for that. That is all it is. Both father and mother has just become a channel for that, nothing else. Nothing else. That exactly like the way, when the baby was in the womb of the mother, all arrangements were made inside the womb, isn't it, for the baby. And similarly, Prakriti, when the baby has come out initially, when it needs protection, that arrangement also Prakriti makes. So, basically you can see, if we look at the Prakriti is doing everything systematically. It knows what it has to do. So, because of that only, the very nature of the Prakriti is Karunyam. It has Karunyam in height. So, if Prakriti is protecting you within the womb, and if Prakriti is equally protecting you when you have become a baby and come to this world, will that not same Prakriti protect me in the rest of my life? Should we not ask that question at the same time? And it should be there, because if it is like that, I must have an opportunity once for all to come out from the grip of this Prakriti and to get that independence, freedom, and once for all to get released from this distress of this world. There should be a way. This is the way Rishis thought about it. Look at that. Can you see that point? Rishis found out, when a baby is born, prior to the birth, everything is taken care of in the womb of the mother. Somehow or the other, system is already there in place, isn't it? After the birth, the baby is taken care of, and that love and affection needed for the baby to grow up is put to the father and the mother, and the baby survives in this world. So it looks that material nature has arrangement already there. If it is like that, will that not same material nature give me the protection for the rest of my life? Does the material nature tells me, look, now I not signed it for you to look after you forever, only till the age of 5 or 6. There is no written document like that. The fact is like this, just like the way material nature is always showing that compassion and grace to us, in spite of everything what we do against the nature, in spite of everything what we do against Krishna's law, still Krishna is protecting, looking after us and providing us our necessities of life and so many other things. Equally, Rishis are asking the question, if all these things Krishna can do, will not Krishna has set up a system whereby you can escape from this whole misery once for all and to become totally independent from this? Will not such a system exist? That is their question to us. This is their faith and that's their strength. Rishis are very deeply thinking. They are not thinking like us. We are thinking completely on a gross level. That's what we see things. Is it not? But their subtlety is this, that they have looked at and they saw in this world these things are happening. Remember that story I mentioned between the monkey and the tiger, the leopard. The monkey, when the leopard jumped onto the monkey to eat, because of fear, the monkey delivered the baby. As soon as the baby was born, the mother monkey escaped, but this leopard did not eat the baby monkey. Immediately, the motherhood nature of the mother's feeling has come through the leopard towards the baby monkey, And the leper took the baby and started protecting and looking after it like a mother. The very leopard who wanted to eat its mother suddenly switched from one thing to another nature. How did this happen? That is Krishna. That is Krishna. This is how you see Krishna's presence in this world. That so many wonderful things happen here. And we still are wondering that, is Krishna behind everything? What we do is, when a disaster comes, we say, why is Krishna doing all these things? This is our question. So, Krishna is responsible for this. So here, the question, this is the question the rishis have asked. Rishis have asked this question, when so much care is taken for the living, every living entity, not only human body, they are looking at the nature in a different way than the way we are looking at the nature. We are looking, our understanding is, oh, Krishna has created all these things for us to enjoy. That is where we are starting our research work, with this understanding. No, rishis didn't start like that. Rishis looked at the nature and saw that there must be a force behind, operating behind everything, who seems to have a system created. Every living entity has a right to exist, and every living entity has a way of existing here, and a system is formulated in that way, and definitely there is that grace in the material nature to look after us. If it is like that, will that system won't offer an opportunity to once for all come out of these distressful conditions and to reach that state of freedom what we are all talking about? So, and that should be, if there is a system, it should be accessible easily. It should be easily accessible, and it should not be something you have to do a lot of research work. And it cannot be something related to a matter. It can't be something with the matter. So therefore, they have found out this one thing, that truth has to be very simple and the solution has to be very simple. This was their realization first. So you can see like this, this is how spiritual life is. Actually, it is simple, but due to our complicated mind, we find it very, very difficult. There was an interesting story about this. When the first time American scientists sent these astronauts to the space, and they went there, they wanted to write there when they got there. So they had the writing pen. When they wanted to write, it didn't write. Reason being that due to gravitational force, the ink won't flow in the pen, and they couldn't use the pen to write. So they came back and they did a lot of research work to develop a pen which will write in the space. Our scientists' mind are saying how it works. So they start saying that we need to develop a new pen now. You know how many writing pens are available in the market? Simple thing, so made it so complicated. 50 years ago we didn't have so much choice. Now there is so much choice, you walk in and you start wondering which one to buy. And then it has become a novelty, isn't it? So therefore, companies have developed how to make it more expensive, gold covered and silver covered and special designs and nice packaging and everything, so you can make it as a gift. Simple, it is only a simple thing, a pen to write, isn't it? And you can also get the same thing, 100 of them for 10 p each. Or 1 p each for £1 or £2, you can get 100 of them in one bundle, isn't it? Some of them will write, some of them won't. So you throw away what you don't, but still it is worthwhile having it. So what I'm saying is that you can get from that to the dispense, which is developed by big companies like Parker and all that, costing hundreds of pounds. We can buy them also if you want, isn't it? So American scientists thought we have to develop a new pen which will write in the space where the ink flow will not, space power, the effect of gravitational force won't affect. So a new pen they have developed. So they told the Russians and the Japanese that we have developed this new pen for the space. So Russians and others asked them that, can you share with us that technology, what you have done? So they said, no, it cost us so much money to develop this technology and we can't reveal that to you, instead. So I think it's a Japanese scientist who said, did you not think about using a pencil to write instead of a pen? So our mind is like that, isn't it? This is our problem. What I'm saying is that we think that spiritual life, it means this must be highly complex process and it should be such a difficult thing, and therefore eventually we give up spiritual life because of that, thinking that it's such a complex thing. It is not. That is what the rishis are telling us. All simple it is. Krishna is inside the heart, he is Antaryami. Accept that and surrender unto him, take his shelter, problem is solved. But that we won't do. We will do everything else, whatever we have been told. Even if they tell you that in the middle of the floods, go to Himalayas, we'll go there. But still, we won't do this. We'll risk our life if we have to do that. But if this Krishna says to you, Aham Alpa Gudagensha Sarvabhuda Shastida, why wonder? There inside, Aham Adhyanjam Adhyanjam Udhanam, and the beginning, middle, end of the story is inside. We won't take it. What to do? This is the same problem like the scientists had. That they didn't know that there was an alternative to use the pencil. The Japanese man somehow thought that, why did you bother all this? You could have used a pencil. But they didn't think about that. So that's how it is. So anyway, so similarly, sometimes very complex things what we think is a problem, the solution could be very, very simple. Or sometimes we think that there is no solution to the problem, and the place where you think that there is no solution to the problem, that is where the solution is. Just like we talked about the body, and we said that in the body there's nothing we can do about it, it's not perfect, all these things, but in spite of that, it is within this body that Antaryami is, where he could be realized more than anywhere else. And that is where he has to be realized. It is within this body. Within this body. So similarly, for the solution of this problem, we are running around everywhere and inquiring everywhere, but Krishna is saying that the solution is wherever you are, that's where the solution is. If you are sitting here right now, that's where the solution is. It's not anywhere else. So there are things like this to take notice of in this, because otherwise this Antaryami principle, no matter how much it is spoken, people won't take it seriously. You will say Antaryami, 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 you will say. But still we doubt, does Antaryami exist? We have a doubt. And plus, we can't take it seriously, because as soon as a group of people says to you, we all go to for this program, that's where we'll be having a spiritual discussion or topic, that's where everything is going to happen, we will give up the Antaryami, we'll go there. That's the way our nature is. That's the problem most of us have got, isn't it? So this thing, because it is so difficult, although we discussed, Krishna told all these things to us, and whole of Brihadaranya Upanishad is talking about Antaryami. Remember, I mentioned this before also, that I am saying all this in connection with the modes of nature. Even though Satyam or the truth is so simple, and even though Satyam is spoken in the greatest Vedic literature called Upanishads, particularly Brihadaranya Upanishad, where Yajnavalkya and Maitreyi talking to each other, and they are saying this, that Maitreyi, that truth what you is after is inside, not outside. And the whole chapter about, which is known as Antaryami Adhikaranam, it is called, the chapter related to Antaryami's role inside. And Krishna is saying this in the Bhagavad Gita. Upanishads are saying this, Bhagavatam is saying this, and in spite of all that, we are saying, well, I am not sure whether he is there or not. How do I know if he is there? And how do I make connection with him? But Krishna is saying to us that acceptance of that is the first thing. Acceptance has not happened yet. And that's why all the problem is. So here, first thing is, question comes like this, that if there was a rich person, a very, very rich man, and he had a son who was spoiled. He will just squander the money, completely waste the money, doing all sorts of nonsense. isn't it? So, this family, this father eventually was dying, was leaving his body, was leaving his body. So, at the time of death, the father knew the son's behavior, nature, what he's like. He wastes money like anything. So, he says to the son, I'll tell you, my dear son, one thing. I'm leaving, dying now. You know, I'm going to die now. But if a situation ever happens in life that you have nothing left to live in this world because of his habits, what you should do, that whatever furniture is at home, take that furniture and sell it, and there'll be enough for you to live. He said like this, and he left his body. And as the father predicted, in due course of time, the son, who was extravagant and who spent freely, completely ruined the whole thing, and he became a pauper. He had nothing more to live on. He became in extreme poor conditions. So at that time, a friend of his father came to visit him and saw the situation, what is happening in the family. So he says to the son, your father knew very well your nature. And what did he tell you when he left his body? He said, my father was good, he given me everything, but he hasn't given me enough to live on. He said, look at my condition now. My standard of living is very high, he says. My father's standard was not good. He was living very poor. My standard is very high. So he has not provided me enough. Such a nice son, isn't it? So the son says that my father didn't provide me enough. What can I do? He said, did he tell you anything when he left his body? After all, he knew your habits very well. He said, he told me that if you get stuck at the end without money, sell all the furniture. How much money will you get by selling this furniture? He said to him. No. The friend said, no, he must have said with some reason. Let's look at the furniture, he said. He went and looked at the furniture, and it was all painted in black, the furniture. When he scratched it, he realized that it was all made of gold. Furniture was made of gold. It was, when he scratched it, he found out that it was actually made of gold. Similarly, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is saying here to us as soon as he realized potentially that I have so much gold with me, his situation changed, isn't it? His situation changed. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is saying to us, you are sleeping above a gold mine. You have built your house above a gold mine, and you are sleeping with that gold mine underneath. Wake up and realize that gold mine, he says here. Therefore you can see, one thing you have to remember here, that gold mine is more important. Where is that gold mine? You see, when you go into Sushupti, in deep sleep state, it is more or less you are close to the gold mine. Is it not? You are close to the gold mine. We write off that gold mine, saying that, oh, what is that? A few hours of sleep. I don't need so much sleep. I need only a couple of hours or 3 hours to refresh myself. That is avidya. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is saying that is avidya. Ajnanam inside. To look at deep sleep state, sushupti, in that way. That is not what is available. So Krishna is saying here that as soon as that person, when he came to know that he had so much wealth in the form of furniture available, he realizes that he can live a very more long time with that wealth. Similarly, Jiva, all of us, our energy in the body is will get destroyed one day. This body has a certain amount of energy it has got. One day it will run out, is it not? This body of the energy, it will run out one day. Similarly, the energy of the mind also will run out one day. When you get older, you will notice your strength of the mind is also going, memory is going, everything is going. You won't remember what you said 5 minutes ago. You say that, oh, I didn't say that. Somebody else says, oh, you said that. I'm sorry. That's all. So more sorries will come at the old age than any time before, isn't it? So, when all this energy has gone, that means your physical energy has gone, mental energy has gone, and we are standing here in a state where there is not much more to spend. At that time, one has to think like this, especially at the old age, one has to think like this, that if I had this, all this body has been working, the mind has been working for so long, so many years, in a powerful way, there must have been a source which has been supplying energy for that to operate like this. Now I have run out of energy, but there must be a source which has been supplying energy for all these different entities, means body, the mind, the intelligence, senses, everything. Everything, isn't it? So at this point in time, for me, the energy is biological or psychological, isn't it? At this point in time, it's biological or psychological, and finally, that power, energy, so in the source of psychic center, which is the mental energy, is also getting run out. You know that, isn't it? When your body first runs out, and when the body is running out, side by side, the psychic energy also runs down. That's why when you get finally old and sick, and then when you don't have any more strength, what happens then? You are lying in the bed. If somebody cares for you, fine. If somebody is not caring for you, you don't have the strength to get up. You don't have the strength to move. You don't have the strength to do anything. That means practically all your physical energy and psychic energy is fully drained out. Fully drained out. So, it is at that time I am standing in this world completely exhausted. Completely exhausted. All my energy levels have gone totally. So, in this world, in the physical plane and the psychic plane, it is in these two planes we are operating all the time, is it not? Keeping the psychic plane and the physical plane, we are trying to become happy. That is what our life in this world is, in these two planes, isn't it? So I am thinking that when both of them leaves me, that means the psychic energy and the physical body, physical energy, when they both leave me, I will become weak. I have nothing more left with me. I have no energy left with me. And it is at that time asking, at least only at that time, this question will come, how can I free myself from this body? That is the right time when this question will come to us very seriously. Because body, up to that time I have identified with my body, isn't it? I've been identifying all life with my body. Bodily identification means what? The energy that I receive from the body to do various things what I want or to enjoy life. Or the energy from the psychic side, from the psychic energy or the mind, energy from the mind, that gives me that energy to carry out the task, to think, to act through. When both these levels of energy is drained out, you are finished. You have nothing left after that. You are lying down or standing up completely exhausted. You don't know what to do. It is at that time, Shastram says to us, you need to go to inquire about another source, where this is all coming from. That is how that inquiry shift from the body and the mind to the self. To the self. Otherwise it will not work. Because it says here that on your own you can't do anything now. Because you have lost your power. You don't have the strength anymore to do it. So therefore inquire now. Inquire now. Ask from people who have found the truth. Ask from people who have found out the truth. And that is why Krishna is saying there, that is why this system of necessity of a spiritual master comes. It is at that stage. It is at that stage it will have its effect. That a person had, because intelligent person will realize this early in life and he will go in the right direction. But in normal situation, normal people's life, this helplessness comes when? At the time of death, isn't it? Close to death or before that. When all your avenues have failed, you don't have the strength anymore to do anything of your own, physically or mentally. At that time, what will happen? Either what you want to do is to go leave this body once for all, as early as possible, isn't it? From through the body, you can't get any happiness anymore. Rather, it has become a burden on you. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here, that think through all these things, that don't put your trust in this body, don't put your trust in the mind. Both of them will run out of energy one day. One day they will run out of energy. Therefore, early in life itself, Pariprasnena Sevaya, through Pariprasnam, through the proper questions, he says here, ask the question, what I should do. And if you hear, and you will get the right answer, and when you go and ask these questions, rishis are telling us, the sages are telling us, that you don't require this body, you don't require a mind either. This is the rishi's answer to this problem. When we come up with this problem, saying to us, you know how the Vedic knowledge developed over a long period of time through the understanding how the rishis brought to came to the conclusion of the soul is like this. They have looked at it live and they saw that finally everyone falls into this helpless state with the body and the mind. And then they started asking the question, what should one do to come out of this problem, that he doesn't have to suffer in this way, that finally he doesn't have to. And they got into the details of this whole mechanism of how the body took birth, how a life based on the subtle body and the causal body, how this transmigration of the soul happens, and what is the capacity of the gross body, what's the capacity of the subtle body, what's the capacity of the mental faculty, all other things. They have evaluated and analyzed it very well. And that is what is Upanishads is all about. Upanishads is telling us, look at it this way, that one day you will have to come to this conclusion. If not today, tomorrow. No matter how great the person is, at the time of death, when his body and the mind is finished, that person feels that he is helpless. No matter who it is in this world, he feels helpless. He is not thinking, I am being cared for so many people, but he doesn't want it. He wants himself to be, had the same strength what the body had or the mind had. But when both of them lose, gone away, then you ask the question, where would I get that energy for this body and the mind? Where did that energy come from in the first instance? And rishis are telling us this one thing, that ask this question, that in every day in the sushupti, in the deep sleep, when you kept your body and mind away, you were enjoying, were you not? He's asking the, rishis are asking this question to us. All these Upanishads is centered around this one important principle. No matter how many hours we talk about the body and the mind, ultimately, we have to come to this conclusion. The only question rishis had to ask us was this, that this same body and the mind, utilizing which you have lived your whole life and enjoyed that life, and you thought that this is what is the source of enjoyment, which one? This body and the mind. And this same body and the mind, in the deep sleep state, when you throw that away and you stayed away from that, you had the greatest happiness of all in that deep sleep state, isn't it? So, and that happiness is universal, not for one person, but for everyone, is it not? Deep sleep state and sushupti state, what you are experiencing, is that a universal thing, isn't it? It's not limited to Indians or Europeans or Americans or Africans. Everyone is entitled for that, that happiness of the deep sleep. So, and that happiness, we didn't get it through our sadhana, did we? It is not through sadhana we got it. In other words, it is not kritam. That is a word in the Upanishad. Parikshalokan, karmachidan, yabrahmanam, nirvedamayal, agritakritena. Chandokyam, Upanishad says, nirvedamayal, agritakritena. Tadvijnanartham sadgurumeva abhigachet shamitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Famous statement is Upanishad. Prabhupada has quoted that in the Bhagavatam also. But as soon as you say Upanishad, I am not studying Upanishad and all, it's not important. You say like that. You throw it away as though nothing has happened. That's another headache, this Upanishads. You start thinking like that. But that is where all the nectar is. All the reality is there in the Upanishads. So, Upanishad is saying, Pariksha Logan Karma Chidan. lot of experiments they have done, who? The rishis. Karma Chitani, they have executed a lot of karma also in this world. And what happened? They realized one thing, Nirvedamayal Agrathakradena. Nirvedam Vairagyam came to them. And what did they realize? Agrathakradena. Agratham means it cannot be created. Happiness cannot be. This was their greatest invention. This Sushupti. Sushupti was their greatest success or invention. They are saying to us that with this body and the mind with which I am trying to enjoy my life throughout, year after year that energy level is going down. And finally, by the age of 60, 70, it practically is finished. And then it's only dragging on in this world, and you don't want that body anymore. There is not much happiness or energy coming from the body or from the mind. So, rishis are saying to us, you are always under the wrong illusion and impression that you can only get happiness only from the body and the mind. That was your greatest blunder, they said. Why? They are saying to us, when you go into deep sleep state every night, when you don't have your body and the mind, you are having a higher happiness than what you have experienced otherwise. Nobody wants to miss that, isn't it? We know that. It's a real proof also. Few days if you miss sleep, after that even if somebody offers you a lot of money, you say, no, let me have a good sleep first and we can talk about it later. Isn't it? That is how much we want it, that deep sleep state. What is indicating to us is that in the absence of the body and the mind, in that deep sleep state there was happiness. Where did that happiness come from? Did that come from the body? Did that come from the mind? No. It didn't come from the body, it didn't come from the mind. It came from another source. Is it not? Came from another source. It is not coming from the body or the mind. On the other hand, when you lost the body, when you lost the mind, that is where the rishis caught the point. They got the point. This is the result of their research work. They found out that happiness is coming not from the body, not from the mind, not from the sources. There is another source. Inquire after that source. That is how the inquiry for the self started. Inquiry for the self started. And they found out that that cannot come from sadhana. Which one? That deep sleep state, samadhi state, what you experience. Closest state to samadhi that is. Which one? That state in the deep sleep, sushupti state. They found out this cannot come from sadhana. That also they found out. They also found out this cannot be practiced either. You can't practice sleep, can you? You can't practice sleep. You will turn upside this way, that way. Sleep has to come and bless you. And say, tell you that some people are very fortunate. They get a lot of sleep. That is Krishna's mercy to them. They feel happy about it. So, it cannot be got by sadhana. It cannot be got by practice either. So, therefore, when we say sleep, people start thinking, oh, sleep. He's always sleeping. You say about people. Isn't he? He's so lazy. He's always sleeping. He's such a lazy character. People say like that. Krishna says, don't ignore sleep like that. That is where the gold mine is, he said. That's where you have to learn things from. That's from that deep sleep state that they have to learn things from. So, that is why he said like this, that when you start inquiring from there, he said, this understanding will come. What is there in the sleep? We ask this question, isn't it? That a kind of, in Shastram they say, Kshudrada. Kshudrada means a kind of silly feeling towards the sleep. Oh, sleep. Always sleeping. And if you are not sleep, our devotees also, oh, he sleeps only 1 hour. Why, he was very advanced. Some false understanding about spiritual life. He's not sleeping 1 hour. I'm like a Goswami now, aren't I? I am only sleeping 1 hour. Look at me. I'm sleeping 1 hour. And that's enough for me. Rest of the time I'm chanting. So I must be more realized. Krishna is saying, no, it's not. Brihadaranya Upanishad is saying, if you are really understood and enjoyed that sleep, sleep well, he says. Take advantage of that. All our Vedantam has come from sleep. Has taken birth from the sleep. And it's always showing about the sleep. So, they didn't tell you to sleep. That's not what they told you to sleep. They didn't ask you, go and sleep for hours and hours. That's not what they said. What that Brihadaranyam is saying, that the example that Brihadaranyam uses is, Ahar Ahar Gachandiha. ahar ahar gacchandiha. Every night that there is a gold mine and you are walking over that up and down and not knowing that there is gold underneath. And instead of realizing that the state where the jiva is going in the deep sleep state, remember, in the deep sleep there is no ahankaram either. That is what has made that deep sleep so happy. No, more than the body and the mind, more than the body and the mind and the intelligence, the reason why you felt happy in the deep sleep is due to the absence of false ego, jiva, ahanda, jiva ahankaram. Because of the death of jiva, you experienced bliss in the deep sleep state, isn't it? So based on that, Brihadaranya Upanishad is saying to us that amazing experience of deep sleep to which the jiva goes and comes back in the night and again goes and comes back, that you didn't take notice of that, and he is not seeing the truth because he is not giving any importance to it, not studying it. Had he gone there to that deep sleep state with this awareness, that deep sleep state will itself will bless him one day when he becomes more serious about studying the deep sleep, Sushupti state. That is why, so Brihadaranya Upanishad says that like in top of a gold mine, you are sleeping in the night, but you are not conscious of that. It is like walking about on top of a gold mine, so much wealth inside. Antaryami comes so close to you in the deep sleep state. You are so close to Antaryami, but instead of taking notice of that, you are busy with waking up and having the experience of the deep sleep state. And the person like you slept, not knowing about the presence of the gold, without knowing the deep sleep state, the jiva has gone and come back so many times, and not seeing the truth, what was there in the deep sleep. So, if he had gone along with that, that will bless you itself. That will bless you itself, the deep sleep state. And it is based on this principle. You must have heard a famous statement in the Upanishads called Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi. Many places, if you look, you will see this Tattvamasi. This Tattvamasi is one of the Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam means great statement in the Upanishads, and it comes in the Chandogya Upanishad. In the Chandogya Upanishad. So, this Tattvamasi Mahavakyam is coined around this deep sleep state. It's coined around this deep sleep state. In other words, Brihadaranyam, Chandogya Upanishad, Mandukya Upanishads, all three Upanishads, sleep is an important topic. I think when we read Puranam, we find it very interesting, isn't it? Puranic stories, Krishna's rasa dance, or things like that, people like to read all that and then evaluate Krishna. This is what most of the people, if you give them a Bhagavatam, that's what they will do. And if you give them a Brihadaranya Upanishad or Chandogya Upanishad or Mandukya Upanishad, then tell them to read it, they will not read more than one page. Otherwise they will get bored, close it and leave it there. Why is it like this? What's the reason? Reason is this, that to understand Upanishads, the important principle is these three modes of material nature should not come on the way. They create a lot of problems. That we are not even getting interested in the Upanishads. Why? Because of the lower modes of nature in us. That is where the problem is. This is why when we discuss these Upanishads and these three modes of nature, you can see the problem. This is the only reason why in the past, when the rishis gave us scriptures, shastram, in a particular way, they graded the scriptures according to the modes of nature. They graded the scriptures. Brahmanas in the Brahman Sattugunam, when they say Brahmana means Sattugunam, that's what you have to think, not go by the thread or the dress. One who in Sattugunam, for him Upanishads will work. One for Rajogunam and Tamogunam, for him other literature they have to compile. Puranams in different ways, 18 Puranas, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, all that. You can see in the Bhagavatam, Stree Shudradhirapyuda, he says about Mahabharata, isn't it? You notice that in the first Bhagavatam, first canto, Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Mahabharata, and Narada Maharshi is saying to him, you compile this Mahabharata for whose benefit? Stree Shudradhirapyuda, women and the Shudras. Do not go by the body means, not by the body in that sense. What it means is that based on that lack of seriousness in spiritual life, in other words. Lack of seriousness in spiritual life. So therefore you will see there in the 5th or 6th chapter, it's right after the, it says that, how Bhagavatam anartho vishamam sakshal bhakti yogamado kshache logasya janado vidvan chakre satvadasam hidam. That is, you can see there in the 7th chapter of the first canto, Sudha Goswami answers the question from Shaunak Rishi. In the 7th chapter, look at that verses 5 and 6. The 6th verse is talking about, in the 5th verse, Sudha Goswami is saying to Shaunaka, Yaya samohido jivo alpanam trigunalpagam. First he talked about the three modes of material nature, trigunalpagam. He says trigunam means three modes of nature. Alpanam trigunalpagam, mind is filled with three modes of material nature. Paro abhimanude anartham kalkritam chabibadhyade. The result of that is that naturally with the lower modes of nature, mind will function in a particular way. Anartham tatkritam chavibadhyade. Anartham. It will go in the anartham direction. Anartham means that in the wrong way, not in the right way. How the mind should normally function. It won't go. It will anartham chavibadhyade. After saying that, he says, anartham upashamam sakshal bhakti yoga madokshache. Knowing very well that the mind will turn into anartham, what he did was, for the upashamam of those anartham, in other words, to destroy that anartham, to control them, bhakti yoga madhoksha jayelogasya ajanado vidwan chakre sattvadasam hidam. He says, knowing very well, first thing is, through bhakti process, they should improve the quality of the mind. That is the first thing what bhakti does. This is the reason in Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna spoke about bhakti, the two processes of realizing the self is jnanam and karmam, isn't it? In the 4th chapter, he says, does he not? He said, what was that verse? He said that from time immemorial, these two, jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Bhakti was not spoken there. These two processes exist always. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. But then where does bhakti comes? Bhakti is necessary to people, to bring the people to that sattvagunam first. So that anartham goes away from anartham upashamam sakshad bhakti yoga madhokshaje logas ajanado vidwan chakre sattvadasam hitam. This sattvadasam hita, Srimad Bhagavata Puranam, was compiled for developing bhakti in the heart. So that those who are born in this particular age, particularly because in the past, Rajogunam, Tamogunam was not so prominent. People, and again, those who are in the Sattugunam, for them, Upanishads, Shastram in that category. They will take to it. They will learn it properly. And they will understand it also. In Rajogunam and Tamogunam, if you hand over Upanishads, it will be difficult for them to enjoy it. Enjoy means it will be difficult for them to follow it. For them there is sort of anartham. And for the upashamam of that anartham, he says, bhakti is the answer. Bhakti yogam. Bhakti yogam to whom? To Krishna. Bhakti yogam adhokshaji. And logas ajanado vidwan chakre sattvada samhidam. Vedavyasa Maharshi, who knows the world very well, he created the sattvada samhida, Srimad Bhagavata Puranam, for this purpose, he says. And then he talks about all that, and finally you will see there that he mentions that why he compiled Bharatam, Mahabharatam. There you will see that he says there is a verse which says that that for the sake of the benefit of the for the benefit of the women and the Shudra, he says, they, you have compiled Mahabharatam. I think it is in the 7th or 8th chapter somewhere it comes. That that so anyway, we'll see later. So this is how the Vedic literature has come into existence. That's the main point. That there is in different levels you can approach different literature according to our purification inside, purity inside. And you won't get attracted. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is categorized with the Upanishads. Is it not? Although it comes in Mahabharatam, it is with the Upanishads. And that is why Bhagavad Gita is not attracting to us. Attracted to us. So here, these three literature, sorry, these three Upanishads spoke about deep sleep. So, go and have a good deep sleep. We'll see next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.